Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's the dawn of a new day. The world awakens. The birds twitter. A rooster crows. And soon, as always, will come that sound of music.
My movement is reparation for 400 years of slavery, the black slave holocaust where the white people did us, and we still suffering the effects of that, you know.
What is your idea of reparations?
We asked for $8 to $12 billion annually for the rest of our natural lives forever.
Well, I guess Larry King was right. We can all just get along.
The best part of making up is with two girls and one cup.
And now...
people are... ugly and crude.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31. What's happening?
Who's that? What's that voice coming from down there? It's like, I don't even recognize that guy.
He looks familiar.
I feel
good. You've seen him before?
I'll tell you this. I feel good because the amount of rest I got last night during the Emmys was extreme.
And how could you sleep during the Emmys? Why weren't you up throwing things at the screen?
I got up this morning at 3 and watched it.
Oh!
What?
What a nightmare.
Right? Why would you do that?
Well, because I knew we were going to talk about it. I wanted to be on top of things. I should have just killed myself. It was just unbelievably
awful. Would have been less painful.
It would have, yeah.
For a medium that is dependent on reaching the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do a very poor job of it. And
all these amazing shows that are nominated, none of those people apparently helped plan this thing.
Maybe it's, I don't know if it's just that's a good show for someone, but not us?
No. It's
not.
It isn't, right?
No.
There's nobody who enjoyed that show. And it's hard to imagine you could get that many stars together, that many talented people, and have so little come out of it. And the only people who were funny are the people who are comedians, you know?
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais was great. Steve Martin was great. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert were great. Jimmy Kimmel was great. I mean, that's about it for highlights.
Yeah. Oh, but the host, come on.
The host
was great.
You guys,
the host really pulled it together, right?
Oh, the way they did that, we don't have anything to say. Comedy, wow. I wanted to punch all of them right in the face. And my fear was I was going to come in here like usual, and Bean was going to have the opposite reaction. I'm glad to hear that he doesn't.
No one has the opposite reaction.
That was so bad.
It was so bad.
Well, that particular opening obviously was horrible. The hosts were not that bad throughout the rest of the show because they were on for much shorter periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they didn't really add much. And I'll tell you what really offended me is that we had Jimmy Kimmel on the show on Thursday, I think it was.
Right.
And he had his primetime special, his 7 o'clock special, which was very funny. And I said to Jim, I said, no offense, but, you know, you're on ABC, and it's kind of the tradition of the network that has the Emmys to let their guy host it. Why aren't you hosting the Emmys? And he told us, and I don't know if he was joking, but he said they didn't ask him. He says he wanted to do it, and they didn't want him
to
do
it. Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, that's odd.
He wanted to do it.
Yes.
A funny guy actually wanted to do it.
And we've seen him host the ESPYs. We've seen him host the American Music Awards. I mean, Jimmy does a great job at shows like that and would have been great last night.
Wow.
Yeah. No, they went a good direction. They went that whole let's have the five hosts yell over each other and do some skits that make Saturday Night Live look concise. It was just awful.
It's really
so bad.
Tina Fey was funny every time she got up.
Yes.
She's very, very clever. She was good.
I couldn't watch it, dude. I kept walking out of the room and doing other stuff, trying to find...
You didn't miss anything.
Like, I'm in a vacuum. I haven't vacuumed in a year. I need the vacuum right now. I need to do something other than watch. And then my curiosity would get up, and I would go back down and start watching. And they would do some laughing BS.
Stuff like that.
Right back upstairs. I can't do it.
And by the way, here's a great tip for the Emmys, for the 61st annual Emmys for next year. If you're going to do a tribute to an old show, a cast reunion, don't pick a show where the best people on it are dead.
Yeah.
Rowan and Martin couldn't be there. You know why? In the ground. You know what else? Lucky.
Yeah, no kidding. They missed that.
Because they didn't see the laugh-in tribute. I mean, why? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, that should have come up in the meeting. We could do the laugh. Rona Martin are dead. Let's not do that. Let's move on to a show where people are alive.
Yeah.
Where people that are funny can come out and do something.
I will tell you that the beauty of getting up and watching it in the morning is you can fast forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
You must have watched that show in 15 minutes.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. That was just brutal.
Yeah.
I've never seen a show, because some, you know, with that amount of talent, most shows are up and down and have super boring parts and have pretty interesting parts, but they at least stumble into funny stuff every once in a while.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was just start to finish, besides those couple of comedians that Bean's talking about, just unwatchable.
Deadly.
It was unwatchable.
Although, I got to give my boy Josh Groban credit for his bit. I thought that was fine.
I enjoyed his.
Didn't see
his
that. Came song. In at the very end of that.
He was good.
He did a medley of 30 TV themes.
Yeah.
And did all the voices the way they are in the theme song, which was pretty silly and pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
You know,
with that was
seeing the Gilligan's Island theme sung in an operatic style, for instance, is funny. You know, it's not necessarily original, but it's funny.
Sounds like the kind of thing that was fantastic because of its surroundings. Had it been a great Emmys, that would have been a low point, I think.
Well, there's a lot of shows you remember from the last 20 years. It's kind of
nostalgic.
Yeah,
I mean, seeing Josh Groban sing the South Park theme and doing the Kenny voice, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, I didn't see
funny.
That part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a bad show.
Yeah.
And the other thing is how many, I mean, this is the 60th Emmys. By now, shouldn't they know about how long they need to plan for bits? I mean, they were running so late so early that then they apparently had to cut a bunch of stuff throughout the show that they made it sound like was going to be funny, but they didn't have time for it.
Well,
instead, they had
God.
To race.
It wouldn't
they had
have been
to race
funny,
around
though.
And rush, you know, to make the show in under 3 hours. I mean, the whole last hour and a half of the show, the pacing was so horrible. I mean, it was dizzying to watch people run up and down.
Well, Don Rickles didn't help in terms of
no,
time
he didn't
spent.
Help at all.
But I imagine he sure. was one of the highlights.
He
I didn't see him, but he's always pretty funny.
He had a couple of good lines, yeah. But I mean, it's almost like they're surprised every single year how much time presenters and recipients of awards require, mm-hmm. and then they end up screwing up the whole clock and running late every single time.
And
it's like they'd never done it before.
The other thing that we need to keep an eye on, and we need to remember this for next year, is that they always give those ridiculous awards to people who work on an award show.
Yeah.
Whatever, directing a comedy special or whatever they call it.
Right.
Where the dude that was the director this year won for the Academy Awards or something like that. We got to make sure that no one gets an award for this year for this
yeah.
Emmys.
Oh, my God. You're right.
I don't think there's much danger of that.
Dude, you know that those are the people that get nominated because there's only one big TV and there's only one big movie. And those two award shows get nominated usually.
And someone wins.
I could be wrong. I don't think that the Emmys are allowed to nominate themselves. I don't think they are. That broadcast is allowed to and shouldn't. But there are two goddamn many awards while we're on the topic, by
yep.
the way. There should be 12 awards is what there should be. And all the other stuff that they do about, you know, writers of miniseries and stuff like that, they had to put that on the other one, the Creative Arts Emmys.
Yes.
The one that handles, you know, the technical awards. They had to just put them up there because no one cares about those.
I had to remove myself from the room when they started doing their freaking Tommy Smothers highlight award BS.
Well, I kind of liked that. I like
Dear
Tommy
God.
Smothers.
But the guy was on TV in the late 60s, right? I mean, he hasn't...
Yeah, but he's kind of a precursor to Jon Stewart
Great.
And Stephen Colbert.
That's
so
fantastic.
That's cool.
Don't need to see him get a Lifetime Achievement
he's
Award
alive,
or whatever
though.
It was he got.
That's
okay,
good.
At least he's alive.
Well, that's what we're going for, is at least they're alive.
That's what they should have an award called, At Least You're Alive.
Oh, dear God, that show blew.
Hold on, something for the return of Kevin from vacation.
Oh, I remember you. You're the cup of shit and two girls, one cup.
There you go.
Little retarded policeman. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, and it's the 22nd of September.
Oh. Yeah!
Oh.
Mm. Oh. Anna?
Giggity giggity.
Yes.
My
well
God.
Done.
Nicely done. Are you running out?
Well, there's still
You'll
some.
You'll make it, though, right?
Listener emailed in with some ideas, and some of them are really good, but, you
it's
know.
It's tough, right?
It gets tough, yeah.
Well, it's 22. You only have, you know, another 10 or so. 12, however many days there are. And
have you used this one yet, Mike?
What?
Yes.
I think
that
was in
there.
Yes,
how about this one?
Yep. Yeah. That was
how about this one?
No, I have not.
No.
No, I have not
Ooh.
Used Master P yet.
No.
How about this one?
No. I don't even okay. have Big Ted. So.
All right, we got a couple of good ones in.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We've got Harvey Levin on the program today.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, there's some great stuff going on TMZ.com. Hardy was so excited he actually emailed me over the weekend. Jamie Lynn Spears' topless photos, one of the things we'll be talking to him about, which, by the way, illegal. Illegal to view, illegal to take, illegal to own, illegal to see, maybe illegal to talk about. I don't know.
How old is she? Once you've had a baby...
17.
Yeah, but you lose 17. Your rights as the underage kid?
I don't know. It just seems odd.
You're an adult now just by the nature of what's happened to you?
And also, he's got a Dane Cook story that you guys are going to love, love, love so much. I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. And he'll have, obviously, the very latest from the hospital where our friend Travis Barker is and DJ AM. He'll have an update on what's going on with that.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Also on today's show, you dated somebody before they became famous.
Oh, interesting.
We'll take your phone calls on that.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard the story while you were on vacation, Kevin, about Megan Fox's interview in GQ about how she was she fell in love with a stripper, basically, as the song goes. And she dated this stripper named Nikita for a while. And somewhere out there, a Russian stripper named Nikita is thinking, damn, I let that one get away.
Yes, she is. That's the best.
That's kind of what made us start thinking about there are a lot of people out there who have had that experience.
I like a woman that'll come out and admit that.
Oh, she's the best.
She's the best,
yeah.
So we'll do Let's Talk About Megan Fox today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have some highlights of Jimmy's Big Night of Stars, which I hope you saw.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, well, do we? That's great.
Yes, we do. He's so funny, and he does another huge singing and dance number.
Oh, no.
Yes,
really?
that I thought was really good. Okay. Really well done. So, and I think Tracy Morgan, he crazy for real, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he is, yeah.
For real, though. I mean, for reals.
Yeah, for reals.
He was one of the people that Jimmy talked to, and I'm not sure he was following Jimmy about halfway through. I don't know what was going on with that. Super Mike.
Whoa.
Wow, you've been upgraded.
I am.
Who knew? Mike went out on the street and got some audio talking to people about white pants.
I'm looking forward to this. He's been working on this for a while.
Man on the street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Find people in white pants, talk to people about white pants, and just see if the word on the street is it out there yet? Do people understand it yet?
I'm surprised how many people know about it.
Yes, and I want to say this. Our listeners might not be the best people out there, because I seem to notice all the people who knew what white pants meant were like degenerates or drunks at the bar.
Or, of course, those are our peeps.
You know, people who have no home.
Right. You say that like it's bad.
It opened my eyes. I was not aware of that.
Bean has some highlights, if you can call it that, from the Emmys.
Okay. If we have to.
It's hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. The KTLA reporter, Allie McKay, mm-hmm. who did the unintentionally sexy glass-blowing story.
We think unintentionally.
Oh, it was, I think it was 100% intentional.
Yeah, I do.
It sounded like she knew what she was doing. I don't know if the host in the studio did, but.
She was funny.
We need to have her come in and recreate that story for us.
This now is the art of blowing here at Revolution. Now tell me what to do here.
Okay, so you just go down and blow on the end of the blowpipe there.
I mean, come on. Really? There was no kind of warning for children in front of this report?
All right, blow a little less hard. Oh, it's the best. And also, Ed, what's this Eddie Vedder Cubs song? Is it about the Cubs?
Yes, he is a lifelong Cubs fan. Cubs, who I believe won their division over the weekend, didn't they, Mike? Did they clinch this weekend?
Yeah, signed, sealed,
delivered. He has. We were laughing about it on Friday because, you know, Eddie Vedder is maybe not the guy these days who you want to write your anthem. He's not the guy who's likely to fire you up all the way to the World Series. But he has written a song that they're talking about either giving away or maybe selling for charity or something like that about his love of the Chicago Cubs. And we'll have a clip of that.
Oh, my God.
And perhaps there are other artists that may be expressing their baseball love this postseason as well that we've got some clips from.
Fantastic. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
Eagles win. Ralph is here on time on a Monday morning, bright and shiny and happy and ready to go.
Eagles just sacked Roethlisberger again.
Really?
Just this morning.
I thought the game was over last night.
No, they just...
They followed into the parking lot.
Yeah. 8 times they sacked Roethlisberger last night. He eventually drove him from the game with like a busted up hand.
Yeah. I don't think he had a busted up hand. I think he had a busted up heart.
Yeah, that's what happened. Broke his spirit. But still a tight game, but yeah, they managed to get the W, so all's well in the world.
How about Chad Pennington yesterday? How about that performance?
It wasn't Pennington. It was Brown, their running back.
Yes.
He was unbelievable. Four touchdowns, threw for another. Yeah. They were just hiking the ball right to him.
That was Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Beat the Patriots.
I know.
Miami beat the Patriots.
TV.
I love to see.
In Foxborough, right?
In Foxborough. It was insane. No one. Vegas must have. Their heads must have exploded. Of course, who would bet on the Dolphins to win that game, so they probably didn't lose any money. But
Do I remember that our Red Zone boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, on Friday, didn't he give us Buffalo as the pick of the week, as the suicide pick, and they ended up coming through and beating the Raiders, right?
I believe he said Buffalo or the Patriots were your suicide pool picks, which at the time seemed a good bet.
A lot of people went with the Patriots, I imagine, because they're playing Miami.
Playing the Dolphins, but
awesome.
Any given Sunday, people. That's the beauty of the NFL.
It was a very exciting day yesterday.
Raiders!
And I was sad to see the Packers lose, too, because that's been such a great story. But they're still good.
Dallas is real. Is for real.
Yeah.
Last night, their defense was swarming all over Rodgers, and he just couldn't get into a rhythm and just couldn't make it happen. I mean, it was still well fought. They were still in it up until the last, the last quarter, but still.
Yeah.
Dallas looks real.
Yeah, they do.
That whole NFC East. Is you got the two unbeaten teams? You got the Giants and Dallas at 3-0. Then you got the Eagles and the Washington, the 2-1. I mean, It's gonna be a hell of a season. Looking forward to it.
5:53 Monday morning. This is the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Scott, I'm sure a lot of showbiz to catch us up with after a long, very busy weekend.
I do. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's do what we do every Monday morning. However, first, and take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lakeview Terrace with Samuel Mother Effin' Jackson came in at number one, $15.6 million in its debut, made it number one. Not a lot of money by the record-breaking box office season we've been having so far, but still enough to make it number one. Burn After Reading came in at number two with a little over $11 million. Then My Best Friend's Girl, freaking Dane Cook.
No kidding.
Dane Cook, number three. Ricky Gervais's movie, number eight. That's all you need to know about America, people.
Says it so well. How did anyone see the trailer for that Best Friend's Girl movie and say, I think I'm going to go see that?
Honey, get a babysitter. We're going to see that Tank. We're seeing Dane Cook play Tank as the guy who, for a living, makes your old girlfriend, makes you look better by being bad to her.
It's his job.
I don't know why I'm asking it as a rhetorical question. Let's just ask Kevin, how did you decide to go see it?
I saw the Ricky Gervais movies instead.
Yeah. Good for you, Kevin.
Thank you.
What'd you think? How was it?
That was really good. It's a chick flick more than I thought, because I didn't really see the promo for it. But
it's about Kinnear's relationship with his widow, right? Yes. Largely.
It's done.
Gervais.
And he's fantastic.
Anything comes out of his mouth is funny, right? Yep. He was the best thing on the Emmys last night.
He was by far.
He was the only thing on the
Head
Emmys
Head and shoulders above. It was like finding a bottle of cold spring water in the middle of a horribly hot desert.
It was.
Yep. I was like, I just want to watch him and Steve Carell just look at each other for the rest of the night. That's all I care about.
How many times during the Emmys last night did you think, why isn't that guy hosting instead? Or why isn't she hosting instead? Anything would have been better than what they did.
Every time they showed an audience member?
My wife had to leave the room. I was screaming at the television so much.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I screamed more at the Emmys than I did at the football game.
Wow.
Yep. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. My Best Friend's Girl was number three. Igor. It was number four, the animated film with John Cusack, starring John Cusack. Righteous Kill was number five. Tyler Perry's Family That Prays came in at number six. Then The Women, Ghost Town, as I mentioned, its debut only made a little over $5 million, made it number eight at the box office. The Dark Knight and House Bunny rounding out your top 10 at the box office last night. We'll do more in-depth Emmy coverage in just a little while, but for those of you who are on your way to work or school and can't stick around, here is who won. 30 Rock won for Best Comedy Series. I think that's a really funny show. But as I was watching them give out the awards and I saw The Office pop up there, I was like, how do you pick anything but The Office as the funniest sitcom?
Yeah, sure. That's true.
Mad Men, one of my favorite TV shows, came in at Best Drama Series. They won their...
Are you on board yet, Kevin?
Nope.
Kevin refuses
still
to watch
it. Now I won't as a matter of principle.
Best Reality Show, as always, The Amazing Race. Best Miniseries, John Adams. Another great series.
Kevin, you got that on DVD?
Nope.
Catch up on that now that you've seen it win like 20 awards last night, right?
Not a bit.
Laura Linney,
Paul Giamatti also won.
I'm glad for both of them.
Best Actor in a Comedy was Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Best Actor Drama. This was nice to see. Bryan Cranston won for his role in Breaking Bad. If you're not watching that show on AMC, that's another terrific series.
So good.
Tina Fey won for Best Actress in a Comedy for 30 Rock. Glenn Close won for Damages as Best Actress in a Drama. And Best Reality Host, Jeff Probst, for Survivor.
His speech was fine last night, by the way.
Probst?
He's okay. He's okay on his own.
That's what you're going for is fine.
Probst seems like the most coherent of all of them. I mean, the opening thing was just...
a nightmare.
Madness.
Inexplicable.
Madness.
It was inexplicable. Yeah.
Did no one have to vet that before they got it on stage? We're going to get there and we're not going to have anything to say and we're going to talk about that we didn't. And we're going to keep telling everybody it's not a bit and we're just not going to have a script or anything. No, that won't happen. This is a television show.
Somebody in that meeting should have said, nope, next.
These five people who all they do is read cue cards. That's their job. They have no other talent but to be traffic controllers for reality shows.
Right.
They have no gift of improvisational comedy whatsoever. You don't send the five of them out on stage to riff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Madness. Madness.
Madness was there?
Nice.
Welcome back, Kevin.
Thanks.
Friday night. Columbia, South Carolina. What the hell happened there?
Bad
the Learjet carrying Travis Barker, DJ AM, Travis's assistant, two pilots and a security guard, veered off the runway onto a highway, burst into flames. What a nightmare. The pilot, security guard, and Travis's assistant, Chris Baker, all killed in the crash. And Travis Barker, DJ AM, currently being treated at the Joseph M. Still Burn Center in Augusta, Georgia. Witnesses at the scene say they saw both Travis and DJ AM running from the plane in flames.
Ugh.
So that's bad.
Third degree burns.
Yeah, apparently they are currently being treated. Travis was burned extensively over his torso and legs. DJ AM on his arm and head. But doctors expect both to recover eventually. But burns, just the worst kind of injuries you can have. The worst.
Yeah.
People Magazine says it may have been a blown tire which caused the crash, but of course they're still investigating. So.
Best news I saw all weekend long was the report that came finally on, I don't know, Saturday afternoon or Saturday night on TMZ that said they're expected to both recover completely, which, you know, up until that point, I had no idea how severe the injuries were going to be or what it was going to be like for the rest of their lives, but it sounds like they're going to come out of it all right.
Travis is going to have to get retatted, though, I'm guessing.
It's true.
Let's go start all again. Over again. It's all like blank canvas now. Billy Bob Thornton is nuts.
Really?
Yeah. He's crazy, but I love him. He's got a new movie, Eagle Eye, opening up this coming weekend. He did an interview while he was promoting the film, talking about the fact that he doesn't like new inventions. He's afraid of new inventions.
Doesn't like new inventions.
What?
Like anything, you know, computers, iPods,
really?
Anything along those lines. You know, he's got OCD.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of fears. And technology is one of them. However, he doesn't like antiques either.
Yeah, that's true.
He's afraid of old and new things.
What does he like?
He's deathly afraid, he said, of antiques like furniture. He is afraid of antique cutlery.
Okay.
Old silverware and that kind of thing. Right. And has a deathly fear of harpsichords.
Well,
those
have killed.
Who isn't afraid of a harpsichord?
Yeah.
So what are the years that he's comfortable with?
1952 to 1968, I think. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. He's crazy.
I wonder if he's got a rotary phone at home. You know, the big dial.
Sure. I do. Of course.
All right, Billy Bob Baxter. And Megan Fox.
Yes.
Doesn't believe anyone should ever apologize for their life.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
According to Us Weekly magazine, she doesn't think Miley Cyrus or Vanessa Hudgens should feel bad or apologize for their semi-nude pictures.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
She says that's who they are. She's the same and they should be okay with it.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
Just take nude pictures of yourselves.
That's good.
That's her advice.
I think Disney would disagree, but
perhaps.
Other than that.
And Disney's right in all their decisions.
Yes, we back Disney 100%.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I got a listener email this morning, which has a recommendation in honor of Megan, perhaps we should call the next month Foxtober.
Oh!
Nice. Hi, Megan Fox.
As opposed to Rocktober, go with Foxtober this year, since we're having sort of a focus on Megan and her career lately. So, something to think about.
I had another brainstorm over the weekend on the Megan Fox tip, too, by the way. Now that let's talk about Megan Fox is deeply established as an American institution, we need a Megan Fox pageant lookalike contest.
I like it.
We need to find girls who look the most like Megan Fox and then crown her.
so to speak.
Kevin, while you were gone, Bean somehow single-handedly managed to make the Megan Fox sequence completely creepy and weird as all out.
Oh, no, yeah. No.
Not at all.
He is
not
icky.
At all.
He is totally tainted. Let's talk about Megan Fox.
Yeah. No.
By just smearing his Bean all over it.
Oh, we don't want
I'd
that.
I love her, yeah. That's all.
Yeah, it's just, it's oh, creepy. No.
She will
just,
be mine.
It's been horrible.
Yeah. Oh, that's
we're bad. Glad to have you back.
Oh,
so he
how
can,
dare you.
Some things should not be put in his hands, and that's one of them.
Oh, yes. On every way you can possibly mean that. Today's celebrity birthdays. He's not really a showbiz celebrity, but how can we not mention Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda as yes. he celebrates his 81st yeah! birthday today?
Go get your thing checked out at Amco.
That freaking commercial. Someone get some Polydent for Tommy. Yeah.
Your check engine light on. Yes, you got a piece of Amco. To say this. You don't even need a new transmission.
What?
He can't even open his mouth anymore because his teeth will come flying out.
Because that's what champions do.
I'm sorry. Joan Jett is 50 years old today. Bonnie Hunt, who is enjoying her own new daytime talk show right now. She is 47 years old today, as is Scott Baio. Former Weezer bassist Matt Sharp turns 39. And bass player guitarist of The Shins, David Hernandez, celebrates his 38th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we have some highlights of Jimmy Kimmel's show last night. And I don't know if it's just because I'm biased, because he's a good friend and mm-hmm. I find him very funny. But that special, to me, was fantastic. And I'm so glad Barbara Walters didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a Barbara Walters thing. It was just him parodying her. And it was great.
Yeah, it was terrific. And you really wish he'd hosted the Emmys when you see his special versus what they ended up putting on. That's for sure. About an hour from right now, a little less, we got a new Killers song for you. One of our favorite bands here at K-Rock. The song is called Human. We'll be playing that one for you. And all this week, K-Rock is putting you on a party plane to Las Vegas to go see the Killers in concert. Every day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m., you win a trip to Vegas to see the Killers. They're only doing three shows, by the way, around the country for the launch of this new record. And Vegas, of course, is the band's hometown, so we'll have that for you. The new song and your chance to go see him in Las Vegas next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about white pants. People are learning slowly, but it does seem like it's like the word is getting out.
Yes, definitely.
And we've been talking about it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Two, 3 years?
We were in Big Bear.
We were in Big Bear. And we found out the girls who wear white pants are advertising that they enjoy if a person were to show up at their house, if that person were to enter through the back door, that would be good with them.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they're advertising. And people seem to be, I don't know, I feel like we're some of the only ones talking about it.
Yeah, it's not like it's widely disseminated information. It mostly, if people have heard about it, they've heard about it from this show or from people who have heard about it from this show. But I will tell you, the downside of this has been now you run into people wearing white pants mm-hmm. that you wish you'd never heard this information.
Yeah.
It has ruined most senior citizens that you see on the street.
Oh, they were ruined before this ever came along. Let's be honest. So, Psycho Mike, tell us about your heading out to the streets to get some interviews.
Well, that's basically what I did. I went to the streets to talk to the people and see what they thought about the theory about white pants and if they were even aware of what it meant. So, here you go.
Do you know what it means when a girl wears white pants?
It means she likes stuff with her butt, I think.
Yeah.
Every one of my ex-girlfriends.
What does it mean about all your ex-girlfriends?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. You know what it means when a girl wears white pants?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
She takes it up the ass, right?
That sounds good to me.
Do you own a pair of white pants?
I sure do, and I wear them every day.
Girl in the white pants, she's always, she looks at me a little bit different. So there's definitely something to that.
Oh, that's and that's all.
Yeah, lots of old ladies wear white pants.
What's the message you get when you see a woman in white trousers?
They like it in the
Thank you, sir.
White pants, you're offering up your backside.
Do you know what it means when a girl wears a white pants?
I have no idea. No, I have no clue.
It means they like it up the
Shut up! Ew!
White pants! White pants! White pants! Woo!
Yeah! Actually, no, and that's really inappropriate, and you're kind of ruining my night. But
I apologize.
It's like a bullseye drawn on your brown eye.
I've always liked girls that wear white pants. Excuse me.
Have you found that sex considerably drops after Labor Day?
Yeah. Not with the right girl.
Back door! Back door! Back door!
Does your wife often wear white pants?
As much as she can.
And on the time gauges when she wears the white pants, does she allow you to play in the mud?
All the time.
I actually do like white pants, yeah.
Do you know what it means when you wear those white pants?
I do. I sure do, yeah.
What does it mean?
That I get f***ed in the
ass randomly.
Yes, it does.
I have white shorts.
What does white shorts mean?
Well, I think you can wear white shorts after Labor Day.
So you just wear white shorts after Labor Day to keep anal sex alive?
Exactly.
All throughout the winter?
That's right. You got to stay warm.
Nicely done.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. There's your next 60 minutes correspondent, Psycho Mike, ladies and gentlemen.
But she's right. You got to keep warm. That's important during the winter months.
Sure.
That is the one thing we've learned. Look, if you want to keep it going after Labor Day,
sure,
switch to shorts.
Jimmy has the narcolepsy, right? He falls asleep a lot, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Because it looked like he was going to fall asleep during his own TV special last night.
I got to tell you, I watched that special in front of the Emmys, and that's a bad decision because Jimmy's show was great,
right.
Funny, pace, you know, quick pace, interesting. And then you go to the Emmys, and it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
But Barbara Walters started Jimmy Kimmel's show last night by making an announcement.
Good evening. I'm Barbara Walters. The following celebrity special should in no way be mistaken for a Barbara Walters special. My Emmy Award-winning specials are viewed by hundreds of millions of people around the world. This program will not be. Furthermore, Jimmy Kimmel has not been particularly nice to me in the past.
Which is awesome. Which made me like Jimmy even more. So Jimmy has three different people on the program. One of them is Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps.
Oh, boy.
And I got to tell you, have you guys ever seen a person with less personality than Michael Phelps?
No.
No.
That's why it's absurd that they're giving him all these opportunities just because he can swim fast. They're having him host Saturday Night Live and stuff like that because he's so ill-equipped for that.
That's a skill set that he does not possess in any way.
Yeah.
And Jimmy asks him if he thinks he's overdoing it, you know, when he's talking about the gold medals and stuff. And then he starts talking about the important stuff.
Have you been in the pool since the Olympics? Not at all.
Nope.
Hot tub?
I think once.
One hot tub?
Yeah, one hot tub.
How'd you do there?
I lost.
You pee in the pool, true?
Yeah.
Which of the nationalities of different countries do you think pees in the pool most?
Probably Americans.
Americans?
Probably.
Okay, so we're number one in that, too. What was going through your mind during that 100th of a second?
I thought I lost the race.
And how bummed was that other guy? I mean, really, lose by 100. It's one thing to win by 100th of a second, but to lose by 100th of a second. It'd be a nice thing if every year on that date you send him a card that says, 1/100th, love, Michael.
That's why I like Jimmy. He comes up with the good ideas.
And Michael's got nothing to say.
Nothing at all. That was all Jimmy being funny.
Yeah.
And just Michael sitting there. But
okay.
That's what he does. Tracy Morgan, crazy. He crazy for real, right? I mean, this guy.
Absolutely.
He plays crazy on 30 Rock, but he is crazy. And Jimmy asks him about his year.
So how is Tracy Morgan?
It's good. Feeling like $1 million on top. Look, Ma, I'm on top of the world. Remember that movie? That's how Tracy feels.
But in that movie, he was killed.
I never saw that movie. I just remember that part.
Top of the world!
You've had a difficult year.
It was up and down.
Tell us about the down parts.
Down parts was partying, taking my shirt off in clubs. And once that shirt come off in the club, that's Chico right there. Chico.
All right. So this is his alter ego, Chico.
Oh, okay.
Right. When he takes his shirt off and he's in a club, that's not him anymore.
I gotcha.
It's now Chico the partier.
Chico is my alter ego. He would come out. My friends and my family didn't like Chico.
Really?
Chico didn't make good decisions. Chico had a bad relationship with alcohol.
Do you miss Chico?
Nah.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
6.
All right.
Come on.
6.
I think the reason Jimmy asked him that question is because that came out on an interview with Tracy Morgan last year sometime. And
remember, that's where
finally
we were gonna,
some follow-up, yeah.
That's where we were having that conversation about how young could you have possibly been? 6 years old. And then he goes on to clarify.
My babysitter, she got me to do it to her. You know, gave me some cookies. You know, we broke up when I was about 10. 11. So I've always been in long-term relationships.
God.
He was in a relationship with her for 4 years.
Yes,
he
from 6 to
good.
10. He gave up the best years of his life for her.
6 to 10.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. And then there was a very, very funny thing. It was mostly visual, but Jimmy gets them all worked up, and he takes a baseball bat over to the set of How I Met Your Mother. and started beating up. What's the guy's name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris. Oh. Yeah, it was very funny. He was just going crazy. But even while he was playing along with that, and it was very funny, and you
see
could tell
the thing in the eyes.
There's something wrong there. There's something really gone with that boy. I love that.
That's why 30 Rock was the perfect show for him, because it gives him a chance to play a character who's crazy, which he plays better than anyone on television.
Yes, he does, and for good reason. So then Jimmy has Salma Hayek on, and she's unbelievable. And he does the right thing and starts talking about how they're going to have a relationship and where do you see us in 5 years. She says, you and me? Yeah, you and me. Where do you see us in 5 years?
On a scale of uno to diez, how attractive do you find me?
Do you know your numbers in Spanish?
Sí.
Seis?
Nine. Wow. That's, thank you.
She doesn't correct him either. She just laughs uncomfortably. And then he does what's turning out to be a Jimmy Kimmel staple.
Yeah?
He does a huge singing and dance number.
Good
a huge
him.
Singing and dance number with Salma Hayek and some of her friends, and Adam Carolla was there, and Kevin James, and they did this whole, I don't know, like 5 minute singing and dancing thing.
Let me make myself perfectly clear.
I'm very sexy and you are disgusting.
Hey.
I am attractive and your pants are busting. Sexy, disgusting, your pants are busting. Let's call the whole thing off.
Oh, hold on, but wait. I'm very hairy and you are a mommy. Your name is Salma and I like salami. Hairy, mommy, Salma, salami. Let's take our clothes all off.
Are you crazy? I have been voted world's most seductive.
Well, my arteries are mostly obstructed.
Voted seductive, veins are obstructed.
Just take your whole shirt off.
Cochino.
And then they went on and on, and then they changed and went to a sad song. It was really, really funny.
That's cool.
It's quite a production piece.
And I don't know if it's up at YouTube or you can go to Jimmy Kimmel Show. It's probably up there.
Yeah.
By the way, Jimmy's single now, you know.
Yes.
And let's all remember this day, because next year when he and Salma Hayek are getting married for real, we're not even going to be able to believe it.
Oh, and he'll never talk to us again, and rightfully so. Oh, dear God. Well, I hope you saw the Jimmy Kimmel Show, because it was 100 times better than the Emmys.
God bless Jimmy.
It was fantastic.
You know what the biggest problem was at the Emmys last night? It wasn't just Howie Mandel rambling every time he got in front of the microphone.
It was part of it.
It was that they didn't give Megan Fox an Emmy.
Well, yeah. For Heat?
Wouldn't that have made it so much better for whatever?
Yeah.
I don't even think she was on any TV shows. They still should have given her an Emmy.
No, they should have given her a Wow, Isn't She Hot Emmy.
Well, they should have let her. She didn't present either, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Lisa.
They could have let her present.
How about 15 fewer minutes of Tommy Smothers receiving his Emmy from his show from 40 years ago, and maybe a little Megan Fox on the Emmy broadcast?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
We are talking about Megan Fox.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox. Let's all talk about Megan Fox. Foxy.
As you know, this is the segment on the program where you can call up and talk about Megan Fox. We are particularly interested in stories where you've met her in person. We had some great ones in the last couple of weeks. But if you just want to call and talk about how hot she is, that's fine too. 1-800-520-106. And we'll get to your calls in a moment. But I think, Kevin, am I right? Do we have a special guest on today's edition of Let's Talk About Megan Fox?
We have Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Jeff has created a website, which we believe is the Lord's work, called Megan's a Fox. Megan'sAFox.com.
Nice.
And there's pictures, and there's bio, and there's video. And
it's almost a Twitter-like minute-by-minute account of everything that goes on in Megan Fox's life on a day-to-day basis. How long have you been running the site, Jeff?
Actually, I started the site in 2004, March of 2004, so 4.5 years. Actually.
4.5 years.
Wow. Yeah.
We're kind of late to the show, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
You must have been a real early adopter of Megan Fox as a goddess.
Yeah, exactly. I knew about her way before other people, and it was the same with MC Hammer. I knew about him before he
All right, you should have stopped right there after you knew about her before other people.
So how do you describe the site to people? Is it as simple as anything that is available on Megan Fox? I'm going to put it on the website. I mean, is that pretty much your criteria?
I generally put pictures and in video and that, but I don't really. I'm not a reporter or anything like that, so I don't actually like post news stories and that.
Right.
It's more just the visuals, I suppose.
And that's fine. You're doing good work. I mean, don't beat yourself up because you're not doing everything.
I don't want to waste everyone's time with a bunch of words, right?
Right, sure. Of course.
That's good advice. Tell people about the most recent post on MeganZaFox.com, which is titled Megan Fox Takes a Dip in the Pool, for people who maybe haven't been to your site yet. Describe what we'll see when we click on that one.
That one, I believe it's a clip from her new movie.
Yes.
Which I think comes out October 2nd or 8th, I'm not sure, called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. I think it's a one-minute clip where, I don't know what the context of it is, but she's wearing a pink dress and she walks into a pool in slow motion. And
they're at a party, they're going to try and introduce her to a guy, and they wave her over, and so instead of walking around the pool, she gets in the pool and walks through it, and all wet gets out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very wet.
Yeah.
I'm just so surprised that she doesn't walk on the water. I mean, that's what I would have expected to see from her, you know?
Oh, exactly.
It wouldn't be as hot, Bean.
She could have, right, but it wouldn't have been hot, so why do that?
Right.
4.5 years of running this site, by now Megan Fox clearly knows about it. Have you ever gotten any kind of reaction from her or her people about your site?
No, I haven't, actually. Before Transformers, I had posted on there, like, if they ever wanted to get in contact with me, go ahead, because I do get a lot of fan mail that should be sent to her, and I also used to get some like product endorsement offers and that, and radio stations and that, trying to get a hold of her, and I don't have any contact with her, and I never have, so I don't know if she's ever seen the site or whatever. I know if you search for it on Google, it's like the second or third one down, but
it's a tremendous site, and it really is a clearinghouse for all things Megan Fox. I mean, you've heard about the GQ photo shoot, you can see pictures of that, you can see video from the shoot. I mean, it's all up there, and you're doing great work. She is furiously private as a person, though. She really, at this point, she ought to come and spend the weekend with you or something for all the work you put into it.
Probably. I'm not sure if my wife would like that, but yeah.
Oh,
your wife would have to understand. I mean, you've run a website about another woman for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be that celebrity list where if you get a shot, you got to take it.
Not officially, but I'm sure.
Unofficially, I'm sure it would be fine with her.
All right. How about if MC Hammer wanted to come stay at your house for the weekend? Would that be allowed?
Maybe, yeah. He might be fun.
The site is megansafox.com. You ought to be able to remember that, but if you don't, we do have a link to it on the links page at Kevin and Bean section of krock.com. Jeff, seriously, you're doing fantastic work, and you are my homepage at home here, so I appreciate everything that you do, dude.
Thanks a lot.
And you know some of the pictures that you have on there? They're hot. They're really good pictures.
They are, yes.
They look good. You should put more of those up.
Yeah, I do my best.
All right, thank you. Let's all talk about Megan Fox. Let's
all talk about Megan Fox. Anyway, I'd like to wish Travis Barker and Adam Goldstein, DJ AM, a quick recovery. I know it's going to take a while to recover the burns. It may take maybe 6 months,
well,
but hopefully
be
they'll be back.
How
we're all praying for them, and hopefully they'll get a quicker recovery.
You just said it was 6 months.
Get them down to Sherman Oaks, to that big burn center over there where they really take care of people.
Thanks, probably doctor.
Got that figured out.
Oh, at that burn center. That's
Travis
where they take care of people.
Baker, he used to be with Blink-182,
Barker,
and of course, DJ AM's. The DJ been doing a lot of great stuff with DJing and
DJing.
Quick recovery from them from the plane crash they were just in, and they recovered. They're the only two survivors.
Right.
Anyway, we're all praying for them, and hopefully they get a quick recovery.
Even
though it takes 6 months, it may even be quicker.
It won't.
As long as we pray, it'll be better.
Yeah,
if we pray.
Did he have a stroke?
I want Rodney to do the news. I want him, not on our show, on TV. I want him to anchor the Channel 4 news at 5.
That would be awesome.
It'd be the best thing ever.
I want Rodney to have his own channel.
No one has ever
24
known.
Hours of programming, him talking into a camera.
No one's ever known less about DJ AM and or
been
Travis.
Doing some great stuff with the DJ.
And or Travis Baker.
Sure. But I'm hoping they'll cover quickly, even though it'll probably take 6 months or longer. But hopefully
but it
it'll
could
be
take
quick.
Less.
But hopefully it'll be quick. They should get him to Sherman Oaks, because there's a burn center there. And apparently they treat burns in Sherman Oaks.
Maybe Rodney should just leave a touchy subject like that alone. Maybe.
That Augusta, Georgia burn center.
It's
crap.
That's what I heard.
Compared to Sherman Oaks. That's where all the people get quick recovery from burns.
If we pray, it'll be better.
Because if it's 6 months, but it might be quicker.
Yeah.
It is 6:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Highlights from the Emmys coming up after the news at 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat from
Monday
night.
He said low, not high.
Yeah, there were no highlights.
Lies.
Zero.
Yeah, the Emmys last night.
None.
At least Tom Bergeron, Ryan Seacrest, Heidi Klum, Howie Mandel, and Jeff Probst came out for 12 minutes and said nothing at the opening.
That was pretty funny.
After Oprah told us how much she likes her.
Yeah.
She sells some books on her show.
And by the way, she
can, I know.
She's been to the buffet.
Wow.
She had a whole buffet under that dress.
I think she ate Dr. Phil.
My God. She's huge.
She's crazy. She's mentally incapable. Like, there's something wrong with her. To eat that much, to constantly gain that much weight over and over
again.
It's
a lot of weight.
And to be that fat and to have that many people looking at you.
Yeah, she's got a disorder, obviously.
I mean, she does. She's crazy.
Does my butt look big?
Yes.
But last night, she came out and she acted as if she was the first lady at some Democratic convention. She was posturing, and her voice has changed. She has a bit of an accent now, and she was.
I did notice that too.
Yeah, it's like,
the cadence, and the way
she
spoke.
So wonderful to be in television. And Groucho Marx once said,
"I was like, who is this woman?
She was expecting everyone to kneel at her in her
she
presence.
She has really drank ballooned. Her own Kool-Aid.
Oh yeah,
with a lot of sugar in it. Apparently,
yes, it has.
I'm so
sugar,
fat.
Kool-Aid."
Yeah. She was acting as if she's the only good thing on television.
And I've sold some books on my show. And yes, and here it is 60 years.
I'm so fat.
Get off the stage.
That girl's fat.
I'm so fat.
Hated everything about that show last night.
Yeah. Except Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
He was good.
He was the one high point of the show. And the winners. I was pretty pleased with the winners as well. Last night of the Emmys, in case you missed it, Mad Men won for Best Dramatic Series. I love me that show. 30 Rock won for Best Comedy Series. I can live with that. John Adams won for Best Miniseries. Amazing Race for Best Reality Show. Best Actor in a Comedy was Alec Baldwin. Best Actor in a Drama, Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad. If you're not watching that show, you should be over on AMC. Tina Fey, Best Actress in a Comedy. Glenn Close for her work in Damages, Best Actress in a Drama. And reality show host Jeff Probst won for his work on Survivor.
He's the right choice, by the way.
Yeah, he's the best host on television, absolutely. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Lakeview Terrace came in at number one with $15.6 million. Then Burn After Reading came in at number two. My Best Friend's Girl, starring Dane Mother Effin' Cook, in its debut, made $8.3 million, good enough to make it number three in the top 10. Come on, America.
The guy has a job where he makes guys look good to the girls that they want to date.
That they just broke up with.
It's a job
that's
that he
has.
That's
his career.
Yes.
That's what he does to make a living.
That's correct.
You give him money, and he dates your ex and is so bad that you look good and she goes back to you.
Screw him.
She doesn't go on to another guy. No, she goes back to you.
Screw him.
That's how it works.
He's a douche.
That's Tank's job in the movie.
Is his name Tank?
Tank. Yeah. His job is that.
Yeah.
Tank.
Yeah.
Tank. Igor, the animated film, was number four at the box office. Righteous Kill came in at number five. Then Tyler Perry's Family That Prays the Women. Ghost Town, in its debut, only made $5.2 million. Was number eight at the box office. The Dark Knight and House Bunny rounding out your top ten at the box office last night. Or this weekend, rather. We'll be talking more about the Learjet crash that Rodney covered so extensively earlier with Harvey Levin from TMZ, but as I'm sure you've heard by now, it happened in Columbia, South Carolina. Learjet carrying Travis Barker, DJ AM, two pilots, a security guard, Travis's assistant, Chris Baker. They were killed in the crash. Travis and DJ AM suffering from extensive burns. People Magazine's reporting it may have been a blown tire which caused the crash, caused the jet to veer off the runway and onto a highway. So they're being treated in Augusta, Georgia. And apparently they are being expected to recover fully, so that's good news. But
so the two pilots, the assistant, and the security died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I heard that Travis chartered the flight so that Chris Baker, his assistant, could get home to see his newborn baby. That's why they were in a rush to get back.
Yep.
So just a tragedy in every possible way. Let's take a look at the lighter side, shall we?
I'm so fat.
George Michael got busted in a public restroom in London over the weekend.
No! He did?
Sure.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
George Michael was busted Friday in a public bathroom in London's Hampstead Heath Park. Believe it or not, it's known as a hotspot for random gay sex.
That is awesome.
George was allegedly nabbed holding crack, and he had some smokable cocaine with him as well.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
See, because crack could mean something else.
See,
too.
What you did? You
know, it's hard to hear under all the drops, but there was actually a joke buried in that story.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
He was holding pot, too. Apparently a bathroom attendant saw him lurking around the men's room. Called police, and when they patted George down, he went, ooh!
That again.
And they found drugs on him. He has apologized already to his fans for screwing up, and he's promised to get himself sorted out this time.
Now, here's the question I have for you, Ralph Garman, because you know a lot more about the British legal system than I do.
And about random gay sex in restrooms.
Sure, certainly, yes. They're not, as I understand it from the reports I saw over the weekend, he's not being charged with anything.
No.
He's been, they've given him yet another warning and sent him home.
Right, Jules, give us the drugs. Right, off you go.
That was pretty much the extent of it. How does that work?
I don't know, but I'm moving to England.
Seriously. What do you have to do to actually get arrested?
Next time my wife's out of town, I'm lubing.
There you go.
What?
In Hampstead Heath. And I'm sure Harvey will have more on this story, but TMZ is reporting that Miley Cyrus and her dad, Billy Ray, are...
Dating?
Dating, yes. They were spotted in a restroom holding crack. No, apparently they're trying to get themselves fired off of her Hannah Montana show so she can move on with her career. So what they're doing is becoming a living nightmare to the people who work on that show in hopes that they will get fired.
They can't just say we're done?
Well, they got a contract.
For how long, do you know?
I don't know. The website claims that the pair keeps running late on the set. You know, she plays her dad on that show. They're both stars of that show.
He plays her dad.
That's what I meant to say. Yes. They've been forcing production delays. They've basically just been being a-holes, hoping that they will get fired. But Disney, as of yet, has not made that move. They said they only want to do 12 more episodes. Disney's got them on a contract to do 24. And so, apparently a lot of trouble down there on the set of Hannah Montana. She wants to move on and be an artist.
Sure.
Why don't you put a call into David Caruso and ask him what happened when he left NYPD Blue, and maybe you'll rethink your situation over there. Hannah Montana.
Travis Barker.
Today's celebrity birthdays, David Hernandez of The Shins. He is 38 years old today. Former Weezer bassist Matt Sharp celebrates his 39th birthday. Scott Baio is 47 and has a baby. And a wife.
And a dating show.
Couldn't be less happy. Couldn't be seen more miserable on that show. Just horrible. He was miserable single. Now he's miserable married with a baby. Just miserable. Speaking of miserable, I don't know if you saw on the Emmys last night. No one was less happy at the Emmys last night than David Boreanaz from Bones.
Yes.
I didn't see.
Absolutely.
He was forced to present with Lauren Conrad from The Hills.
He did look miserable.
He walked out of state. He would not make eye contact with her, wouldn't acknowledge her, just stared stone-faced, seething into the camera the whole time.
He barely let her near the mic, by the way. He almost looked like he was blocking the mic so that she couldn't get to it.
He was trying to pretend that she didn't exist and that he, a real actor with a resume, wasn't standing on stage with Lauren Conrad of The Hills, who was there because she designed the clothing for the girls who were handing out the awards last night.
Yeah.
He looked like he wanted to punch her right in the face.
He really did.
It was hysterical. Very happy. Bonnie Hunt. Actress, comedian, has got her own daytime talk show now. She's 47. Joan Jett is 50. And Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda celebrates his 81st birthday today.
Your muffler's not working. Go to Amco. Now you know your needle's out, change missile.
It's the last commercial.
Tommy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
A bad way to end your weekend is the 60th annual Emmy Awards broadcast, which was on last night for... I was shocked at the end of the night to find out it was only 3 hours, by the way, because I swear it was 15. It seemed like a 15-hour show, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was interminable. And it's funny to me that these are the people that put on television shows, but for some reason on this night, they're not really concerned at all about the audience. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just the wrong person. Like maybe it appeals to old, boring people.
I would be. I don't think so.
I'm old and boring, and I hated it.
Yeah. So. It was bad for everyone.
It was bad for everybody. I think at this particular time. Yeah, I don't know, and I mean, there's a lot of problems, and some of them are endemic to all of these big award shows, which is that the show is too long, and they do give out too many awards. Look, I know it's TV's night to say, "Hey, aren't we great?" and pat ourselves on the back, but so many of those awards. People just don't care about. They really don't, and they shouldn't be on the TV. They should be given in another night and another event that's not televised.
You guys that put on the Emmys, you know it's on TV, right?
People have to watch it.
Are you aware of that? That there's an audience out there that might not be entertained by what you're doing?
We've been making references all day to the new thing that they tried in honor of the 60th anniversary last night, which is to have the five hosts in the first time ever reality television show competition. Be the hosts of the program. And throughout the night, most of the time, it was just bad. But when you put all five on stage at the same time, it was virtually unwatchable. And yeah. I've got less than a minute here for you to endure, and you'll understand why we hate it so much. Because this is the five hosts, which I guess is Bergeron and Seacrest and Heidi Klum and Howie Mandel and whoever the fifth one was. All out there on Jeff Probst. All out there on stage with nothing planned, and that sounds like a joke, but we're soon to find out over and over and over again, they're serious. They got nothing.
And as of this moment, right now, no lie, at 2 minutes into the show on Emmy night, we have absolutely nothing for you. And it's not a joke.
This is not a bit. This is reality, and who best to offer that to you?
As a matter of nothing. A matter of fact, if you just turn around in your seats, you can see in the prompter. There is absolutely nothing there.
We don't have an opening. We have nothing. This is like five reality hosts. We don't even have a contestant. We have nothing.
By the way, Bergeron, who's an excellent host, I know we all hate Dancing with the Stars, but he does a great job hosting the show. He was smart. You don't hear a peep out of him during that because he knew how bad that was.
He and Heidi were completely silent the entire time.
At some point, doesn't the director of the show go, okay, cut away and let's do something else?
Yeah, you would think so. And they made reference throughout the night to how bad it was. And one of them even said, Jimmy Kimmel told us not to do that. And we did it anyway. In fact, one of the funny moments was when Jeremy Piven won one of the very first awards of the night. He figured out a way to turn his acceptance speech for Entourage into something to make fun of the hosts in their opening.
I just got off a plane from New York in which I'm doing a play. I'm in the midst of this rehearsal, and I'm feeling like maybe I should go into roofing. I'm so bad. That's what it feels like right now. So to have this, thank you for the 11 people that laughed, for the love of God. What if I just kept talking for 12 minutes? What would happen? That was the opening.
That was a great line. Let's talk about some of the few highlights there were. The always dependably hilarious Ricky Gervais was out there last day. And by the way, by my count, he didn't win any of the five Emmys that he was up for, which I was very sad about.
I don't know because they
kept showing him being nominated, yet he never ended up winning one. But he should have hosted the show. He was great.
It's great to be here at the Emmys, the most prestigious TV award show in the world. I couldn't come last year, which is a shame, but I still won. Do you remember? Thanks for that. The press called it a major upset, which means they thought I shouldn't have won. I saw that. They've asked me to give you some pointers on how to make a good acceptance speech. I don't know why, as I said, I've never made one. I wasn't here. Still won, though. Keep it short. Please, keep it short. Particularly if you're not on-screen talent. No one wants to hear from a producer.
True.
Don't cry. It's pathetic. It's just an award.
So he was definitely the highlight. Unfortunately, he was also very early in the evening. So you're thinking at that point, you're sitting on your couch, you go, well, this isn't too bad. I survived the opening. Now the show's going to really take off.
But you were so right about him hosting. For those of you that don't know Ricky Gervais, he was the guy that created The Office in Britain, and then we stole it here and did our own version of it. And I've seen him in stand-up and everything else. He would have been great hosting that
perfect.
Show.
Perfect, yeah. Absolutely. How do you have a... Maybe he wouldn't do it. Who knows? Maybe they asked him and he wouldn't do it. But how do you have funny people out there like Jimmy Kimmel and not give them the opportunity to host? I don't know what they did. Another very funny bit, and again, the comedy came from the comedian. Steve Martin, for instance, was very, very funny. Another very funny bit was Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert got up together to present an award. And, of course, they're both famous for their political shows on Comedy Central.
Thank you very much. Obviously, tonight, no politics. Just doing the thing. No
politics. I don't want to do politics, John. No one wants to see us talk about politics.
Perfect. All right, let's do this thing. The miniseries is a 14-part window into the soul. What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, John. I'm just enjoying these delicious prunes.
He takes out a bag and starts eating prunes on stage. Why? You're about to find out.
And you know what? I think right now America needs a prune. It may not be a young, sexy plum. Granted, it is shriveled and at times hard to swallow. But this dried up old fruit has the experience we need.
See, Psycho Mike, he's talking about John McKay. That's Stephen Colbert trying to push a political agenda, even though they've agreed not to talk politics. You don't get it, man. There was only one musical number on the show last night, and that was Josh Groban, who came out, who is just, he's the weirdest guy in the world because he's like 25 years old and he's got a face like a weasel, yet he's got this huge operatic voice and he's an immense music recording star. I mean, he's famous for his popra, I guess he does, pop kind of opera songs. He came out and he did, I thought it was very successful. He did a medley of television themes. I think there were about 30 of them or something like that in the medley that he did. Here's just a taste of what it sounded like. Josh Groban on the stage last night at the Emmys.
Park, gonna have myself time. Friendly faces everywhere, humble folks without temptation. Going on down to South Park, gonna leave my woes behind. Ample parking day or night, people shouting, howdy neighbor. Going on down to South Park and meet some friends of mine.
It just went on from there, and he did the Baywatch theme, and he did the Andy Griffith theme, yeah. And just on and on and on. It was actually very, very funny. So we've been on the air talking about the Emmys for what, about 6-7 minutes or something like that? Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard all of the highlights of the show. We just saved you nearly 3 hours of your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
Still going on. And if anybody gives that show an award, you have us to answer to, because that show was death. It was TV death.
It's horrible.
God damn it.
Pal Jay Moore, by the way, will be here on Tomorrow Morning's Kevin and Bean Show. He would have been a better host of the Emmys last night.
You think?
And also, in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to Peyton Manning of the Indianapolis Colts on the program, who is not going to be in a very good mood after the game yesterday. But we've got Peyton on the show tomorrow, so be sure to make a plan to come on back and join us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message, and the good ones get played back on the air. Any topic is fine.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, listen, is it me, or does Sluggo sound like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, human, Sluggo.
He does,
a little bit. He does.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but certainly he does.
Hey, I'm watching the Emmys right now, and Howie Mandel is wearing a thumb ring. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I don't think we know what that means.
Yes, we do. There's a rumor, and it has been unsubstantiated as of yet, that the thumb ring is the same as the white pants.
Oh, Howie, really?
So it's not science yet.
It's not science yet, like
but
the other one.
Okay.
But we are trying to work out the theories and see if it does, in fact, hold true.
Yes.
So we'll check on that for you and get back.
What would you do for Megan Fox?
Yeah, we get a lot of Megan Fox songs.
So I walked into Blockbuster yesterday, and I saw Transformers and Megan Fox in all her Blu-ray glory. I had to ask the guy at the front counter for the bathroom key so I could change my pants.
All right.
I was in there for 2 hours.
Okay. All right.
I don't think I could take Megan Fox in Blu-ray. Honestly, it's difficult enough to watch her in DVD. Blu-ray would be too much. My head would explode.
Turn into a Goo-ray. Oh, come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. You're going to applaud yourself for that?
Oh, my God. I just saw Megan Fox on the cover of Maxim magazine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All night, yeah.
Too much sharing, people. Don't need to know all the details.
Do you guys know why there's so much global warming? Megan Fox. She's so hot that she's melting the glacier. She's melting mine.
I think if he hadn't mumbled, we would have understood that a little bit better. But
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows, blows.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
That is true.
Hey, Lightning. I called AIS the next day. My girlfriend cheated on me, and I lost my job.
I am the man.
I hate you.
Yeah. I don't know if you've gone to YouTube and searched for Cucamonga Heat, maybe the best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think without reservation.
Yeah.
The best movie ever.
I'm a big fan of Cucamonga Heat. Yeah, Eric.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
I got to tell you, we might need to have some kind of a contest or have people send in their projects, their college
movie projects. Fun. That's a great idea.
Because Omar did that, I think, for a class or something. And it was just...
There's got to be other gems out there, right?
It's terrible. There's a guy with a pistol to his head and... There's like 17 shots, and then the guy finally falls over. It's the strangest thing you've ever seen.
Bean of the jungle, friend to you and me. Bean of the jungle. Watch out for that bean.
Okay.
It gets all a 10 right. for delivery.
I love you, Dave, the king of Mexico. Without you, I wouldn't listen to the... Kevin and Bean Show. I like your voice and personality, and your duck tail is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
First of all, good phone. But second of all, who did she say duck tail? Is that what she said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that different from a rat tail?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't really keep track of the tails.
I couldn't tell. I was obsessed with a bad phone myself.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of phone has that much noise on it? I've never heard one of those before.
Hey, so I saw Travis Barker play last week, and I got to tell you, man, dude was on fire. It's great. Wow. Wait, is it too soon?
Yes, it's way too soon. How dare you?
Wow. Comedy is tragedy plus time.
If anyone knows that, it's us.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I almost didn't do it. I almost didn't do it. I thought, is this in bad taste? But you know what? I went for it. I went for it, and I am so glad I did. Oh, worth it. Totally worth it.
So last week, I think it was, in the Kevin and Bean Show, we were doing the Internet Roundup, which is where we send you to videos and sites and things that we think you'll enjoy around the Internet, because there's just, frankly, too much to keep up on. And we had this story of glass blowing on the KTLA Channel 5 Morning News Show. They had sent a reporter out to do a story on how to blow glass. Here's just a taste of it.
This now is the art of blowing here at Revolution. Now tell me what to do here.
Okay, so you just go down and blow on the end of the blowpipe there.
Right when we saw that, we said we have to create a new category at KROQ.com, which is the most unintentionally dirty news report ever. So we put it up on the website, and then lo and behold, we got an email from Allie McKay, who is the Channel 5 reporter in the piece, and she is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hey, Allie, good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are good.
Hi, Allie.
Well, we're fine. I got to be honest, your show is on at an inconvenient time for us, so we don't get a chance to watch the Channel 5 in the morning. But what do you usually do on it, Allie?
I am the feature person. I just started a few months ago, so I do all the random fun stories all around L.A., Ventura County, that type of thing. Never the girl in front of the fire. In front of the train crash. Not going to see me.
We don't want you there.
No, I don't want to be there, quite frankly.
Now, these guys are calling it unintentional. It sounded to me like you were really playing it up, and for good reason.
Anytime a man starts a segment with, I need you to go down and start blowing.
Yes.
I think you're pretty much going to just go with it.
That's the best. Yes. And then he was like, "Hey, hey, back off."
Apparently, well, I've got some more of the tape. I want to find out if everybody in the room was in on what you were doing, or were they as surprised? I mean, were they just surprised to hear what was coming out of your mouth? No pun intended. Here, listen up.
You just blow as hard as you can there. Okay, slow up a little now. Slow your blowing.
Now, was he in on it? Was he trying to be funny?
No, he was giving me direction. And I actually wound up saying at the end of it, I have never received so much direction and guidance
right
down there, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I bet you do, because you don't want it to be a mystery. All right, here's some more from Allie's glass-blowing piece.
Okay, just keep blowing soft now. You just keep filling it with air, and you can stop blowing.
That was a lot of direction that I got when I was down there. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. Now, this is something that you learn, actually, after you've done the beginner courses. You can make something like this.
Whoa, beginner courses, right? Learning,
let's
teaching.
Be honest, I did not start off as a beginner.
That guy, that guy could not possibly, that couldn't have missed him.
He just wanted to get the information out
of
there.
Of course, but...
And he had no idea that I might just be a dirty birdie. Yeah. He didn't know. He didn't know. I think the end, though, was my favorite.
Yeah, okay, the ending?
I do.
And is it really like a 2 or 3 person process?
It is. It's a team process. So we work together. We'll often help one person turning, one person shaping. We take turns taking heats because it's very hot.
Excellent stuff. So not only out here can you take individual classes, you can take group classes. You can then, once you get good, pay for rental time and come on your own.
Okay. Hey, all right. Hey, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if we could even put that on the radio. Come on,
good
Allie.
Lord.
All right now. See, you do good work. That's why we like you.
Wow. Well, at the end, the anchors said that they were impressed by me, and I mentioned that I was told I was good.
Now,
sure. Well, how do you think you got the job in Los Angeles? Come on.
Thank you.
Is it true, Allie, that this morning you were talking to us from another story that you're doing on Channel 5 from a place called The Pussy and Pooch?
Indeed, I am. It's a lovely pet store that caters to both your pussy and pooch needs. Absolutely. Downtown LA.
Do they, every day you do some kind of an undercover sex report? I mean, is that what they try and figure out? Oh, yeah, let's send her to Pussy and Pooch. That'll be awesome. She can make more of her blowing jokes.
I wish I could say that's how it went, but I set up my own live shots, and it just so happens that today was Pussy and Pooch.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I am live at Ripley's Believe It or Not. They have a new book that came out.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure it involves shrunken penises or something, right?
I hope
Do you ever, at the end of the Channel 5 morning show, do you ever have tape that you can send home to mom and dad, or you still can't let them see what you're doing on the air?
You know, they live back east now. I'm a native here, grew up here, but they moved back east, shockingly, when I moved out here, which was odd. But they watch on the internet, and after the glass blowing, my mother was very impressed.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure she called and said, I taught you well.
Absolutely.
Well, Allie, you are doing great work out there. Don't ever stop what you're doing.
I do it for the kids.
Yes. Allie McKay is on the KTLA Channel 5 morning show, which is what, 7 to 9, 6 to 10? What are you on?
It's on actually from 5 to 10.
5 to 10?
5 to 10.
5 to 10.
But you're on...
Okay.
I'm on usually 6 to 10.
6 to 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you need to learn how to blow, that's where to go.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks, Allie. Bye-bye. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, as we do every Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lakeview Terrace, starring Samuel L. Jackson as a cop you don't want to live next door to. $15.6 million made it number one in the box office this weekend. Burn After Reading came in at number two. Then inexplicably, the new Dane Cook movie, My Best Friend's Girl, came in at number three. Igor, where the animated film was number four. Righteous Kill, Tyler Perry's Family That Prays, The Women, Ghost Town, The Dark Knight, and House Bunny rounding out your top 10 at the box office last night. They gave out the Emmys last night, and that's how they should have left it. They should have just given out the Emmys, not bother televising.
Yeah,
they should just issue a statement as to who won and then just call it a night.
Or just give them out. Just bring people on for an hour. Give out Jeremy Piven, let him get his Best Supporting Actor for Comedy Award, let him say his speech, and then have him sit down.
It's
again.
Like five or six things, seven maybe, tops?
Do all the top acting awards. That's what people want to see. You want to see the cast of 30 Rock show up. You want to see Alec Baldwin win his award. You want to hear what he has to say.
No host?
No host, just awards.
Yep, I like it.
And open bar, too. No host and open bar. That's what you need.
Here's who won last night. 30 Rock, Best Comedy Series. Mad Men, Best Drama Series. The Amazing Race was Best Reality Show. John Adams won for Best Miniseries. Then Alec Baldwin, Best Actor in a Comedy. Bryan Cranston, Best Actor in a Drama. Tina Fey, Best Actress for a Comedy. Glenn Close for Actress in a Drama. Jeff Probst was the Best Reality Show Host. Supporting Actor went to Jeremy Piven for his role on Entourage. Third time in a row, by the way. Yep. He's won that award. Zelko Ivanic won for Damages as Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, Jean Smart for Samantha Who.
Hey!
And Supporting Actress in a Drama, Diane Wiest for In Treatment. A bunch of shows I don't watch winning big awards. So,
what's the deal with This Amazing Race that's won 6 in a row Best Reality Show? I don't know a soul who watches that program.
I've watched a couple seasons of it. It's really good.
It is.
But, you know.
Well, it's reality TV. I mean, how good do you have to be the best of reality TV?
Yeah.
What are they going to give it to? I Love New York?
They create a good...
Tequila Tequila?
A continuing storyline. Yeah.
George Michael... Legendary 80s singer, remember him from Wham and his big solo career, just can't get out of the men's room.
Nope.
British tabloids say he was busted Friday on suspicion of drug possession in London's Hampstead Heath Park. He was in the men's room there.
Oh.
Which apparently is known to be a hotspot for random gay sex.
Yeah, we need to talk to people who prefer to have their sex in parks. Because this is, I mean, there's a guy who's been busted for it before. Very high profile. Keeps going back. It must be great.
Hasn't George ever heard of Craigslist? Just stay at home and take out a personal ad if you want to make some anonymous random sex hookup.
Seems like the random part is what he's really looking
for,
doesn't
it? He digs that, obviously. Yeah. A lot of gay men like the random sex. Help. Straight men would like random sex, too, if we could get it, but we can't.
Yeah, women won't do it.
We can't get anonymous random sex from women, so.
He lives in London. There can't be a shortage of gay bars that he could go to and pick up somebody and have random sex whenever he wants.
He can walk down the street. Maybe he doesn't drink, Bean. Maybe he's not a big drinker.
But he does use the restroom.
When they found him in the park, he was holding crack, regular cocaine, and pot.
Well,
no
you never
booze,
know
so
alcohol.
He's not a drinker.
You never know what you're going to need.
Just saying. An attendant saw him lurking around the men's room and called... police. He apologized to his fans for screwing up again and said this time he's going to get himself sorted out.
Yeah. Sure.
By the way, is it really getting arrested for suspicion of drug possession when they find crack, coke, and pot on you in a restroom?
That's a good question.
Doesn't that take the suspicion part right out of that charge? Crazy.
It was almost instinctive the way the guys talked at each other.
Yeah, it was instinctive. You know I love the Riders, the concert Riders.
Sure. Sure. They're the best.
The concert rider, for those you don't know, is when they make a contract with an artist to perform at a venue. They get, of course, their compensation, but also they can write into their contract, depending on the level of star, insane demands that have to be met for them backstage. And Spinner.com has just released a new list of spectacular riders. I just wanted to read some of them. These are verbatim taken from the contracts for the artists. Okay, for example, Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla scented candles and 4 black bath towels, 2 bottles of Veuve Clicquot champagne.
Now, seems reasonable.
That's the kind of thing most people ask for.
4 black towels.
I don't know why she needs black, but that's what she needs, and she gets a couple bottles of champagne, right? That's sort of standard.
Right.
Here's some other ones that may not be so standard. Ted Nugent demands 1 box man-sized Kleenex.
What is man-sized Kleenex?
I have no idea. I don't know why he needs an entire box of it, but he must have some bad sinuses.
Hmm.
Amy Winehouse.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Now, I mentioned last week she asked for 48 bottles of Jack Daniels backstage.
Yes. Right.
This is from another concert venue where her contract demanded 2 competent and sober local crew members. I guess she figures if anyone's going to be incompetent and loaded, it's going to be her. She doesn't want the crew to be that way.
She's got plenty of those people.
Yes. Ozzy Osbourne. 3 oxygen tanks must be
there's
backstage at all time.
No
wow.
Kidding.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Stevie Nicks demands, under no circumstances shall the house use any motorized or electric blowers. If any blowing is going to be done, it's going to be done the old-fashioned way by Stevie Nicks. An assortment of adult magazines, Penthouse, Playboy, etc. for Guns N' Roses when they perform.
Good.
Peter Gabriel. Excuse
me, somebody's job when Guns N' Roses is coming down is to go out and stock up on porn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Jane's Addiction, 2 packs zigzag rolling papers. Orange packaging, please.
Okay.
Those are the ones they like.
Good.
Foo Fighters, Dave loves stinky cheese, it says in his concert rider.
They just need to know that or they need to have it?
They have to have stinky cheese backstage.
Okay.
He likes stinky cheese. Peter Gabriel, a female masseuse.
Yes.
Must have a deep relaxing muscle massage in a hippie style. Be ready to do, Peter, at 6:20 p.m. for 1 hour. She's got to be a hippie. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. She has the masseuse has to be a hippie.
She has to be a hippie. He loves hippies.
I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. Hippies.
Alabama, the country band?
What?
Mm-hmm. No animals are allowed in the backstage area at any time. If there are, Alabama will not perform.
Why?
No idea.
Did they have trouble with a deer attacking them as they tried to get into the venue?
The old days when they used to open for the circus?
Wow.
Fair.
Maybe they're just
LA
playing
County
fairs
fair.
Now. Maybe yeah. That's all they do is play the fairs.
No, they're off the road. They don't perform at all anymore.
Paul McCartney. No trees. We want plants that are just as full in the bottom as they are in the top, such as bamboo, peace lilies, etc. No tree trunks. Paul McCartney's concert rider. You know why? Reminds him of his ex-wife's leg. That's why he doesn't want to see any tree trunks. And lastly, this is my favorite, Clay Aikens.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
This is verbatim from the contract. This is truly very, very serious. No mushrooms, no coffee, no mints, no chocolate, no shellfish, no nuts. When has Clay Aiken ever said no to nuts? So I guess he's got some allergies that he can't have any of that stuff around, but... I love demands. I'm going to start making demands when I show up to work here every day. We have a new contract.
No one here will care, though.
I'm going to say, I need a blue Sharpie held between Miss Cleo's boobs at all times for me to reach. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dave Hernandez of The Shins is 38 years old today. Former Weezer bassist Matt Sharp turns 39. Scott Baio is 47 years old. Bonnie Hunt turns 47 as well. Joan Jett turns 50. And Dodger legend Tommy Lasorda is 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The destination was Van Nuys.
The air traffic controllers on duty did observe sparks from the aircraft as it was going down the runway.
They raced in balls of flame from the crashed plane in Columbia, South Carolina. Adam Goldstein, DJ AM, and former Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker will recover from their awful burns.
Both Barker and Goldstein are in overall good health and didn't suffer any major injuries during the accident as far as crush injuries.
But their friends died in that jet crash, including Chris Baker, whose wife is about to deliver a child. They've got the black box, but it looks like a tire blowout. A name from the past. Maybe you found one of his crazy flyers on your windshield. Or bought one of his expensive embroidered jackets. Suspected sweatshop labor. Maybe you even remember the Messiah of Sunset Strip. Or his wife, whom he refused to bury because she was to be resurrected. Tony Alamo used to blame all his problems on the feds and the Pope. But his Arkansas compound has been raided and 6 minors taken away because Alamo claims consent is puberty. When it comes to sex, that's under 14s. Dodgers lost. Magic numbers 5 with 6 games left. The Angels won. Patriots and Raiders lost. Jets, Chargers tonight. 70s and 80s later. 68 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the road.
Hey, Ellen, dude. Give that guy some stinky cheese.
Take it easy.
Kevin and Bean Show. It's K-Rock at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock tonight. Heroes is back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Heroes on NBC. 3-hour.
What?
Premiere event tonight. 1 hour, which is the red carpet and premiere party leading up to the premiere.
Right, I can skip that. What else you got?
No, you can't. I'm going to get you up to date. What happened last season?
Oh,
do you remember what happened last season,
Not
Kevin?
At all, no.
Do you remember what happened with Siler and the Maya with the black eyes and the oil that comes out when she kills you? Remember what that happened there?
I remember that from the X-Files movie.
No, different.
Oh, all right.
It's been 9 months since the last time there was a Heroes episode on. 9 months. So I need that recap very badly between 8 and 9. And then there's a 2-hour episode to kick off the new season.
2-hour premiere episode. Siler's back. He's got his powers back. They open up floor 5, where all the villains are kept there at Dunder Mifflin Paper, or whatever the hell they work.
That's where they work.
Yeah. And I can't wait. It's awesome.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be good.
Everyone's excited about it, even Canadians.
Really?
Yes. Apparently, in Canada, they had a poll. They polled Canadians to say if you had any of the superpowers that the Heroes characters have, which one would you choose?
Okay.
Oh, I see. So these go beyond just the standard comic book superhero powers. These are specifically for the Heroes.
These
group.
Are the powers of the characters on the Heroes. You got Claire with her invincibility and healing powers.
Right.
That's pretty hard to pass up, by the way. You could be invincible.
You got Parkman. Played by Greg Grunberg with the telepathy. He can read people's minds.
Right.
And put his thoughts into other people's minds, which is pretty cool. You got flying, like Nathan Petrelli.
Sure.
He can fly around.
Mm-hmm.
So they polled them and said, which ones, you know, a hero, right? Time travel. You can go through time. You can stop time. You can go faster
That'd
through time.
Cool.
You can go back in time, forward in time. That's pretty cool.
You could go forward past the Super Bowl, find out who wins, then
come
go back
put
and
a
bet,
big
on
bet on
it.
It. Exactly.
I like that.
Yes.
Kevin already did that when he had me bet on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl.
2-1, dude.
I know.
On our way.
Anyway, they asked 1,000 people in Canada on an online poll and said, would you like to travel through time like Hero? Would you like to be telepathic like Parkman? Would you like to fly like Nathan Petrelli? Would you like to be able to steal the powers of other people like Peter Petrelli does? He can absorb the powers whoever he's around.
Yeah, that seems lame, though, because then you have to find people who have the powers.
You got to go, that's to be near them. Yeah. Oh, I got to stop this crime. I got to go find somebody who's bulletproof. Hold on, I'll be right back. Yeah, that's not good. So they asked 1,000 people, and what do you think the number one superpower was?
The healing one?
The healing one.
The healing one, yeah.
Invincibility. 45% of more than 1,000 people questioned picked Claire's power of being able to repair yourself, to heal, and to be invincible. It's the number one. 45%.
Does that mean she can't age?
I was going to ask
die?
If she never dies.
Yeah.
I would think so. Apparently, her cells do regenerate at a spectacular rate of speed, but I am assuming that means she'll be young forever.
And we determined that her virginity grows back each time, right?
Oh,
yes.
Why do you have to be creepy?
I mean, if everything regenerates after it's...
What do you mean, why does he have to be creepy? That's what he's...
He puts his bean stink on everything. ruins it.
That's who he is.
Did you see her on the Emmys last night? How could you blame me for thinking it?
Jennifer Love Hewitt and Hayden Panettiere standing next to each other on stage.
That was a hot twofer.
That was a good foursome.
It was all right.
Yes, it was.
25%, the second most popular hero's power, was time travel. People would like to go through time like Hero does.
Okay.
I would like to be able to stop time like Hero does. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Because I would stop time like right now, and then I'd just come around the counter, and I would like stick a Sharpie up Kevin's nose, and then I'd come back on, and I would just start time again, and all of a sudden he would say, what the hell is a Sharpie doing up my nose? And I'd be in the middle of telling
that would be
story.
A fun power.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
You could just screw with people all the time.
All day long. Just drop his pants and stuff for no reason around his ankles.
You could go to your favorite sporting event, and if there's a pass into the end zone, you stop time, you move the football like 70 yards the other direction, and then you start
to knock it down.
What happened?
Greatest power. 15% of people in the poll selected telepathy. They would like to be able to read minds, which I think is great sometimes, but if you can't turn it on and off, and you start hearing what people really think about you and what's going on, that's a bad power.
That would be rough.
Isn't that how Parkman found out his wife was having an affair on Heroes? It's because he overheard it in somebody's head. Yeah.
His partner, his cop partner. 10% want to fly.
Sure.
And 5% wanted to steal the powers of other people, be able to absorb other people's
powers.
Those
people are dumb.
They are dumb. It's a stupid, stupid power.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It is pretty hard to beat the healing, but the time travel.
Yeah, that's toss-up for me.
Because if you get injured, couldn't you always just go back in time before you got injured? It's kind of the same thing, but you get to do it two different ways, right?
Yeah. Well, unless you're killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're killed.
Yeah,
that's the one thing about invincibility. You can't be invincibility. You can't be killed. Now, when we're asking people to call, do they have to limit themselves to Hero's powers also? So no one can call and say invisibility or anything like that, right?
Well, there was a character on Heroes who was invisible.
David
Eccleston played the Invisible Man.
What are the other ones that aren't the main ones?
Maybe we take those calls too. If we're forgetting one, if you can think of somebody on Heroes that's got a cool power that we're forgetting, call in with that and defend yourself as to why you would choose that.
But invisibility would be pretty tough to turn down as a dude.
That's true.
I mean, come on.
You know, it's funny, in this poll that they had in Canada, the more women answered heal themselves than men did. Men picked time travel more than women did. That's how it broke down.
They're in for the thrill.
Women want to heal themselves.
Yeah.
It's because they're bleeding all the time.
I don't think that's
it.
That's
what it is.
That has nothing to do.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Wouldn't it be great if you're a woman, you're like having cramps or something, you just heal yourself and stop being such a bitch?
It's time to face the hole.
Oh, come on.
Just heal yourself from being a crabby-ass bitch half the month.
Did you guys see that website that will email you when the time of the month is for your partner?
Oh,
give you a heads up.
Really?
Things are smart.
There's rough waters a-coming.
Clear out of town.
We got to get them on the phone. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your idea of the power that you would have. Let's begin with Kenneth in Montebello. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Which power would you want?
I will take reading minds just for the fact that I won't have to worry about pissing off my girlfriend. I would know what she wants. I won't have to guess why she's pissed off or what I did.
So you might want someone else, though.
So you're saying you're so in the dark about what your girlfriend wants that you would need that just to get out of trouble a decent amount of time.
And not necessarily what she wants, but pretty much to figure out what I can do to make her happy?
Yeah, nothing. Hey, what about going back in time before you met her?
No, if you could read minds, dude, you wouldn't want a girlfriend. Because you'd be the biggest player in the world. If you could go to any bar and be able to talk to a girl and know exactly what she wants and what she's thinking.
That's true.
You would get a girl in the bed every time you met a new woman. You could do it.
I love your idea.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So dump your girlfriend and then get that power.
Sweet.
Right. Go get that power.
Thank you for the call. They sell those powers, by the way.
Yeah, I think they do.
They do at Costco.
Yeah.
You can get a bunch.
Get them in bulk.
We'll take a quick break and come back. 1-800-520-10. I have to tell people that Kristen Bell is going to be
on the premiere.
She's going to be on tonight's Heroes in Hour 2.
Just play the clip. Play the clip of Kristen Bell.
Dave is excited. We're all excited that Heroes returns a one-hour pre-show tonight with, I guess, red carpet and interviews and a recap of everything that happened up till this point. That's between 8 and 9 on NBC, and then a two-hour series premiere of the TV show Heroes. So Ralph's talking about a poll that was done up in Canada of which hero's superpower would you most like to have? Of all the characters on the show, which one would you most like to have? Omar writes in, I would want the power of time travel so I could go back and make sure my passport wasn't expired.
A good power to have.
Yeah, I might have would have come in handy if I'd have had that a couple of weeks ago before vacation.
Having the power to not be a dumbass. That's not the same situation.
Is that one of the powers?
It would help if you had that power. Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Eric in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Eric
on line 6. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin Show. Which hero's superpower do you like?
I would have the mind reading / mind control power that Parkman has.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had that mind control, I would control Megan Fox's mind to do whatever I want.
Interesting.
Well, there you go.
He's thinking, right?
Now, I thought he just understood other people's thoughts. He can control them?
Initially, he could just hear people's thoughts, but now he can make people do what he wants by using the power of them. That's how he got Peter's mom to confess about what was going on.
Right? I'm in with Eric then as well. Yeah. If you can control people, that's a good call.
You can make them see things and make them imagine that they're in different places and things like that. Like his dad did. His dad had the same power Parkman's dad.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good call, Eric. Thank you. Let's go to Julian, who is calling from Whittier. Good morning, Julian.
Hey, young. How's it going?
Good. Good, Julian.
Good.
Yeah, I would like that time travel power. The reason why is because I'd love to go back and catch a lot of bands that aren't around anymore to play live.
Yeah, sure. See, like Wham.
I'd love to go back and see.
I'm sorry, did you say Wham?
Yeah, go see a Wham show. That'd be fun.
Wham?
Yeah. That's the right answer.
You could go see Falco before he died.
Exactly.
You could go see a Falco concert.
Yeah. Here's a perfect example. I'd love to see Metallica, even though I got tickets for the recent show.
Sure.
Metallica back in the early 80s, you know, when they were coming out in Justice for All Years.
Right, like, so the night before you go, just as a warm-up, you would go back and see them 20 years ago. That's a good idea.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be fun.
And see bands like Nirvana that aren't around anymore.
Nirvana,
stuff like that.
Sublime.
Timbuk 3.
Sublime, all of them.
Man, great. You're so bright, got to wear shades, man. Catch them in their prime.
That's a good idea. Thank you for calling.
No, we're forgetting about Hero's powers. Yes, he controls time, but he also can teleport. He can go from like here to New York City just by squinting
really
nodding his head. Wouldn't that be the best power to have?
That's pretty good. That's a good idea.
You could literally go to Paris for dinner if you wanted, and it would take 1 second each way, right?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the best. Yeah.
Let's go to Nick in La Habra. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa Mae.
Good morning, Nick.
Hey, I would like Peter Petrelli's powers because imagine if you go up to see someone and they go, well, I got the power to be invisible. You're like, oh, great, thanks. Now so can I. You know what I mean?
But don't you have to be near them to use that?
I think, Peter did. But then he learned how to tap into it and hold on to it. I think that's what the Invisible Man taught him how to do.
I got
you. Yeah, he can be invisible. He's unstoppable. You know, he can heal himself. He's got it all. He's got the time travel. He doesn't have to be near him at all.
Well, that's pretty good.
But he has to find those people, though, and that's the problem.
That is the problem.
I mean, the show, the way the show Heroes is set up, it makes sense that they all run into each other. They have a common goal, and they end up in the same place at the same time. In real life, that would never happen. You'd never find a guy who's living in Texas or something
How
like Claire is.
How do you find the invisible guy? How do you find him?
Exactly.
How do you hunt him down?
I think the invisible guy hunted him down.
I know, but we're saying in real life, if we had the powers, how would we find somebody who's invisible?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
And like, Siler's got to eat their brains to get the power. That's a lot of work.
That seems bad.
Got to cut their heads off and eat the brain. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
Speaking of Kristen Bell, let's go to Justin in Fullerton. He's on line 7 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Justin, L's power, Kristen Bell's power, is the one you went from Heroes, right?
Yeah. You could shoot people, kill people, shock people just because. You can
what
mess with people
shock
in class.
People? She shoots electricity out of her fingers. That's what he wants to do.
Just for fun.
Most useless just power ever. Unless you're in a blackout.
Wait, you would rather...
a human generator.
You would rather do that than time travel and all heal yourself? You'd rather just shock people?
Time travel would get boring.
You want to be just a joy buzzer, basically.
Hey, shit, shake my hand.
How could time travel get boring? You wake up one day, you got nothing to do. Hey, I'm going to go back and watch Jesus being born. I mean, come on. There's an infinite amount of things you could do for fun with time
travel.
But
this dude could shock people.
You could shock and screw with.
Yeah, that's true. That wouldn't get boring. What'd you do? Shocked another guy today.
Really? Was that fun? Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Just like last time.
Yeah. Oh, really? Because I flew, but you were shocking people? Yeah, I shocked another dude. It was
so shocked this guy.
Let's go to John in San Pedro. Good morning, John.
Hey. So, yeah, my power would totally be to hear what's going on at any distance within, like, what is it, like 10 miles? Yeah.
Who has that power?
Remember the first season, Siler ate that broad, the woman who was the mechanic?
Whoa,
he shows, shows up.
Easy.
Well, he eats their brains. That's what I'd say. He shows up at her house, and she can hear things. Remember,
that's
she was fixing her car, and she can hear any distance, and so he ate that one.
Wouldn't that but wouldn't that start driving you crazy if you could hear everything? Can you focus on it, or can you block it out?
No, he definitely spends some time focusing on it and taking it down to where he can hear it any distance and block out anything.
Yeah, when he first got it, it was overwhelming because he heard everything all the time, but he was able to screen stuff out. Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool. You could sit in your house and listen to what's going on in the Oval Office, for instance, if you wanted to, right? Oh. If you could if you could manage a power like that. That would be pretty awesome.
That'd be too scary.
That would be the best conversation ever. Are you kidding? You got to use that before the end of the year, though. Let's go to Chris in Riverside. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on, guys?
A superpower. What would what would you have?
You know what? Hey, you know what? Probably heroes, but hey, no one addressed the fact that they mentioned in the show a few times that if you cut off an invincible person's head, they're done.
Meaning, if
not,
you could heal yourself.
Actually invincible. No, they can't heal themselves. When they went to go kill the lady who made the Shanti virus.
Right.
She went to blow off his head, and what's his name saved Peter and said, if your head's gone, you're done.
So you're not really invincible.
So if Clara's head gets cut off, then she's finished.
Yes.
That's the only thing she can't come back from. I got you. Okay.
So you just got to be careful not to get your head cut off. That doesn't seem so hard.
Just wear a turtleneck sweater with like a metal collar.
Let's go to Jason in San Clemente. Good morning, Jason.
What's up, guys?
What power?
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
I would fly.
You would fly.
Yeah, because I could win every single X Game event there was. Can you imagine the tricks you can pull if you could fly?
So you'd hit a jump on your motorcycle, and then your motorcycle would just fall to the ground, and you'd do like 75 flips in the air.
No, I'd skate. I skate already. I can invent the craziest tricks you've ever seen.
Yes,
but
you could.
You have to glue the skateboard to your shoes because it would come off if you flew.
That's a long hold, dude. He's gone. All right, and finally, let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Richard. What's your power?
Hello, Richard.
I would want to have time travel, like Hero, just so that I can go back and solve the world's mysteries. Like, was Jesus really born?
Mm-hmm.
Who won the election?
Mm-hmm.
And why the hell Bean exists?
You can go back.
Wait a minute.
You could rid the world of Bean.
I know, right?
You'd be a conquering hero.
I would be the new Jesus, the savior of mankind.
One of the things we've learned from comic books over the years, Ralph, am I right about this, is you don't want to screw with history. You don't want to go back and change things because then everything goes willy-nilly,
but
right?
But some things have to be worth changing.
Nothing bad could happen if you were taken out. Nothing. There would be no backlash.
You win, Richard. That's a great... You know how... there are team songs, people who love their baseball teams or football teams or soccer teams.
Sure.
Well, Eddie Vedder is a Cubs fan, and Eddie Vedder has done a sports song, and it is not good.
It has to be high energy, though, right?
It is terrible.
How dare you?
So we will give you a little taste of that coming up in about a half hour here on the world-famous K-Rock.
First, though, 8:39 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com and TMZ Television, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Harvey, after the Emmys last night, aren't you embarrassed to work in Hollywood?
God, could you believe it?
Really, right?
I mean, Don Rickles was the funniest thing on the show, and the guy's like 82.
Mm-hmm. It's not just us, though, right?
To Don's credit, but nonetheless.
That was dull start to finish, right?
Oh, God. It was terrible.
Okay,
it was really terrible.
All right, we got a lot of great stories.
But there was one great moment.
Okay.
And I think you guys, I'm not sure if you agree or disagree, I think Tina Fey is brilliant. I really do.
Uh-huh. I do too.
I think she's very funny.
Amazing writer.
Yeah.
Maybe the best writer in Hollywood, comedic writer for TV. She is given the award by Lauren Conrad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's quite a moment.
Unbelievable. You know, the show that is so poorly written that they pretend like it's unscripted.
Yeah.
And she gives the award. Incredible.
Yeah.
It was so shocking. I know Lauryn Hill is on a popular TV show, but she certainly had no place being a presenter at the Emmys.
Tina Fey.
I know. It hurt. Harvey, you did a great job this weekend with constant updates at TMZ.com about the story that captured our listeners' interest from the minute they heard about it first thing Saturday morning, and that's the Travis Barker DJ AM plane crash. You every 45 minutes, it seems like you were putting new stuff up there as you were hearing it from sources. What's the latest that you're hearing this morning about the condition of those guys that survived?
Well, the good news is we talked to somebody we know at the Burn Center, and DJ AM, at least, is ambulatory and in decent spirits. They're both expected, you know, to make a recovery, but I mean, it was terrible. I mean, they apparently, and they're kind of piecing this together. They're not willing to say this is what happened, but it may well be that they blew a tire on takeoff and the pilot was trying to abort the landing.
The takeoff, you mean?
I meant the takeoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's terrible. Goodyear apparently made these tires, and we finally got in touch with them, and they say that they're going to be working with the NTSB on this, but they've already been contacted by them, so it sounds like they might be zeroing in, but it's just such a horrible thing.
Is there any way for us to know, or is it just speculation, how those two guys were able to get out of a plane that was crashing and the other four couldn't?
Well, we're told literally just on impact, they somehow got out the door. I mean, when planes crash, you just have a precious few seconds before everything just ignites. You know, with something like this,
right.
and they were able to get out of the door, the fuselage, but the others weren't. And you know, it may well be they were injured, they were strapped in, but you know, 10 seconds makes the difference between life and death in something like this.
And burns are something that is not fun to
horrible,
have to come back.
Horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
And one or both of those surviving guys were on fire at the time they jumped out of the plane, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, they were badly burned. I mean, this was not, remember, when they were critically burned. And, you know, they were lucky to get out with their lives. I mean, this was you saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the plane was scorched.
Now, you also wrote in on TMZ that that dude's wife was not pregnant. I heard that's why he rented the plane. They were going back early so he could be with her to have a baby. That's not the case?
No, I mean, that's what we were getting stuff all day long. That does not appear to be the case. I mean, we were being told literally she was about to give birth. So somehow this went sideways during the day. But, you know, they just were trying to get back to L.A.
Wow.
You know, it's so weird. I mean, this is a little morbid, but Travis Barker is one of those celebrities who, for some reason, is always the victim of false internet rumors that he's been hurt or killed. I mean, about every 2 or 3 months, there's another rumor that we get in our email that Travis Barker has been killed. This time, I mean, it's just so weird that something like that would happen to him. Of course, nobody could ever have seen this coming. It was just a tragedy. But God, we love that dude. And we had DJ AM in our studio about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Couldn't have been a nicer dude. Couldn't feel worse for him right now.
So sad.
We got our fingers crossed. All right, let's change to something else. Another story that you broke on TMZ.com this morning. We're talking to Harvey Levin on the phone right now. This Jamie Lynn story has great intrigue.
Yeah, this is an amazing story. how to tell this? So Casey is taking pictures on his – Casey Aldridge, the baby daddy, is taking pictures back in Louisiana of Jamie Lynn, you know, various pictures. A picture of her breastfeeding the child. Yeah. And also, you know, pictures of Brittany holding the kid, group pictures.
Was Brittany breastfeeding as well?
No, she was not.
Okay, just checking.
So here's what he does. He takes the camera card to Walmart.
Dumbass.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Takes the camera card to Walmart, and they think somebody from inside the store may have made copies of this. That person is definitely trying to sell pictures right now. The person who has copies of the pictures, there are 12 pictures out there, including one with Jamie Lynn's left breast exposed. That could constitute a federal crime, pornography. Even though it wasn't taken for sexual purposes, if somebody is trying to sell it to be lurid, it could violate the federal pornography laws. I can tell you the feds are actually on this case. They are trying to hunt down this person. It's a federal investigation. It's a local investigation. And the lawyers for the Spears family are actually looking at Walmart to see if there's anything they can do against Walmart because of the breach of security.
How dumb do you have to be being close to that family and seeing what the paparazzi does to them to think that you could get away with taking pictures like this and putting them in a public place to be filmed, to be printed?
But I mean, look, it sounds crazy for us in Hollywood. This is a kid who has nothing to do with Hollywood, wants nothing to do with Hollywood. Is trying to, you know, I got to tell you, on a level, it's like just because he doesn't key in the way we do, you know, he's naive, but he never signed up to be part of Hollywood.
Yeah, but you got to be special kind of stupid to not understand.
I'm trying here.
I know you are, but I don't agree. I think if you have any common sense whatsoever, you're
too naive to not realize that this could be problems.
You know, but the guy rides a tractor, and you know.
Yeah, well, let me ask you one other question. She was breastfeeding.
Right.
And I know that's not a sexual act. But she is underage, so that's why the feds are saying.
That's the point. She is underage, and it is, and if they're selling it for lurid purposes,
how do you prove that?
Well, it's all intent. I mean, in 3/4 of the crimes that are proved in court are all intent crimes. So if they're trying to sell these things, and her breast is being exposed, people have been convicted for less. So they are literally looking at this as child pornography.
That number 18, and I know we have to pick a number and stick to it, but that is so magic, isn't it? Because if she's a day over 18, that you can sell pictures of her hoo-ha. If she's a day under 18, you can't sell pictures of her breastfeeding a baby.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it changes everything. It totally changes everything. It's a big deal. I mean, this is not something that they're saying, oh, you know, we'll look at it when we get it. They are really serious about finding this guy.
All right, one more story is all we have time for, Harvey. And I love this that you put on your site about Dane Cook because he first of all, not funny. Second of all, not talented. Third of all, I've never heard of a defense like this. Tell people what's going on with Dane Cook and the case of the dog poop.
Well, it's so dovetails because I was listening this morning at, when you guys and Ralph were talking about his movie coming in at number 3.
Right.
And you were saying, why is it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I have an answer for you. So Dane Cook, if you remember, a month and a half ago, he was evicted from his apartment building in West Hollywood because his dog was pooping all over the common areas. And it actually went to trial, and a jury said, you know what, you're out of here.
Really? Went so far that they said, yes, you might get kicked out, and he still didn't clean it up?
Yes. Now, here's what makes it really bizarre. So we went into the file on Friday, and we found buried in the file these court papers that he filed after the eviction. And he is saying, he's pleading with the judge, do not throw me out of here. I need, and here's his reason. He says, essentially, this place has supernatural powers, this apartment. The apartment used to be rented once by John Belushi, another time by Steve Martin. It's really one of the best buildings in West Hollywood. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's this big brick building, you know, and it's really a famous place. Anyway, those two once rented it. He is saying that that place creates inspiration for comics.
Well, then he needs to move because it's not working.
and he's claiming that if he moves, he's worried that his career could crumble, that he could get, I'll read you a quote. I know that the presence of those who have lived there before me affects me deeply and provides me with inspiration. And he says, quote, in the same way that writers can get writer's block, comedians can really easily run out of ideas and stories. And he's frightened that if he has to move out, that's going to happen to him. And he's seen it happen to other comics.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, God forbid Dane Cook isn't funny anymore. I mean, we can't have that, right?
Hey, he could, but again, guys, I mean, you couldn't figure out how he did
well,
number 3. There you go.
Maybe that's it. The spirit of those guys is working through them.
There it is.
You go.
Wow.
Well, you're doing amazing work, as always. TMZ Television weeknights on Channel 11 at 6:30, and of course, 24/7, it's TMZ.com. Harvey Levin, thanks for joining us, dude.
Bye, guys.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
Got a very angry email this morning from a listener who doesn't live
in the Southland any longer, has moved to another part of the country, but made a point of getting up early this morning and finding us on the internet.
Right.
And is furious that we're not doing any Talk Like a Pirate Day jokes. He specifically circled this day in his calendar to get up and listen.
I thought that was last week.
They thought Kevin is ruining it. He won't let you do any pirate talking, and no one's talking like a pirate. No one's doing any jokes. And I had to break the news to him that it was Friday, actually. It was Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah.
He's off.
I go on vacation so you guys can have your pirate fun.
I noticed that.
I don't want to be a wet blanket.
Gone during TLAPD.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lakeview Terrace. Samuel L. Jackson is a scary mofo.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Sam. Scared $15.6 million out of moviegoers this weekend. Made it number one at the box office. Burn After Reading came in at number two. My Best Friend's Girl with Dane Cook and Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
Came in at number three.
Yes, it did.
Wow.
Yeah.
$8.3 million. Igor. The animated film in its debut made $8 million, good enough to make it number four. Then Righteous Kill, Tyler Perry's Family That Prays, The Women, Ghost Town, the new Ricky Gervais movie, in its debut only made $5.2 million, made it number eight at the box office.
It was really good.
More people go to see Dane Cook movies and Tyler Perry movies than Ricky Gervais, the comedy god.
Don't give him any ideas, because then you'll see Tyler Perry writing a film for Dane Cook, and then they're going to put them all together, and then they will outgross Dark Knight.
Here's the thing about Ricky Gervais in that movie, Ghost Town. Ghost Town, is that the name
of it? Ghost Town, yes.
He's brilliant and funny, and it's also a chick movie that's really well done. So women would love it, and guys who like comedy would love it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So saddle up, people. Get out there. The Dark Knight was number nine in House Bunny. Number 10 at the box office this weekend. The Emmys were awarded to television's best last night. Here's who won. Mad Men was the best dramatic series over there on AMC. Rock, 30 Rock, rather, best comedy series. Alec Baldwin won for best comic actor for 30 Rock. Bryan Cranston won for best actor in a drama for Breaking Bad, also on AMC.
Oh, that's a good show.
How can you watch AMC
watch
Breaking Bad, which is a great show, and then Mad Men, also on AMC, also an amazing television show, you haven't seen one episode
that
of it?
That guy is a chemistry teacher. And brews up meth.
Right.
We know that. It is such a good show.
We know what Breaking Bad is.
And one of his students, or ex-students, actually helps him distribute the meth.
You're missing my point, which is...
So good.
Mad Men, brilliant series about the golden age of advertising in New York City in the early 60s.
Golden age.
You're breaking up.
Not interested. He's not interested in anything more than 5 years old.
You're breaking up.
Yep. That's totally
I'm losing the signal here. I'm not getting anything.
Wow.
How about if we were to tell you this? Some of the hottest chicks in television.
Oh, you're breaking up. Oh, I'm sorry. You're breaking up.
Really? Now you're against looking at hot chicks, too.
My screensaver currently is Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, the redhead from that movie.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
From the red carpet last night of the Emmys. And Dave Wilderman said, oh, that's who that girl is. He saw her and didn't know where she was from, but knew she was spectacularly hot.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're bad.
I don't want to watch a show about 1950s. Thanks.
The Godfather took place in the 40s. You love The Godfather.
That was great.
That's a movie that takes place in the 40s.
Though. That's the difference. That was fantastic.
It doesn't mean it can still be great even though it's not set in present day. That's our point. Look, did you like Gladiator? Why do you watch movies set 2,000 years ago?
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
The only excuse that you have is that you don't watch Mad Men because that's the time you use to catch up on your John Adams DVDs. That's the only excuse you have.
I don't have a lot of free time.
Stop saying that!
I am very busy.
You have a ton of free time.
Very busy. Got to watch The Shield. Got to watch Fringe. I got my shows, dude. I got my shows. Don't need another one. Thank you.
It's just an hour a week. That's all we ask. Just a can a week. We're like that almond company.
That's right. A couple of cans a week.
Let's see. Tina Fey won for Best Actress in a Comedy. Glenn Close for Best Actress in a Drama. And Jeremy Piven won for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy for his work in Entourage and some other people that you don't care about. So that's who won. Congratulations. Lindsay Lohan's been very vocal. I'm sorry.
Lindsay Lohan!
Has been very vocal about her support for Barack Obama to the point where she has volunteered to host events around the country to get young people to vote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brock's camp turned her down. This was my story last week. Interesting story out of the New York Daily News today is that they've checked voter registration records in both New York and California, and apparently she's not registered to vote. Yeah. So they're thinking maybe she should register to vote, you know, in the election and all, before she starts throwing events for other people to vote.
She's the best.
She is spectacular.
I love that they don't want her at all. Don't, please don't campaign for me. Please don't use your celebrity to help me get elected. Please stay away.
Don't be on my side so much.
Doing good. Thanks.
We got it all handled here. We're good. Thanks. We're going to ask George Michael to host an event for us.
In a bathroom.
That's who we're picking. The reason we mock is because George Michael was busted again in London, hanging out in a public restroom, presumably trolling for random gay sex.
Gay what?
And when they grabbed him, he was possessing drugs of the crack, cocaine, and pot variety.
He's a total gaylord.
Apparently a bathroom attendant saw him lurking around the men's room and called police. And,
guys, is the men's room in a park? Is that the
environment you want to have sex?
The smell of urinal cakes just gets me hot.
Those are disgusting in every way, right?
They can be more disgusting.
That is no way to live.
They can get more disgusting. Well, if you do it right.
I guess. Wow. It just seems bad. I mean, it doesn't sound like he meets him and takes him anywhere else. It just sounds like that's...
Just a quickie there in the stall,
nope.
Kevin. Come on.
Nope.
Oh, lighten up, Grandpa. Come on, all the kids are doing
nope.
it.
Nope. Not in the park.
Yeah.
I don't think he's aware of what he's doing, man.
We should talk to some of our gay listeners.
That's just not good.
And ask them what the fascination is with the...
With the park,
the back alleys and the park bathroom.
Back alleys, I didn't get that.
We know what the fascination is with that, right?
I meant location. Oh. Location, oh. Location.
Well, I think Lisa hit on it earlier, which is the excitement of the randomness of you have no idea
but
who's going to be there and
I
who you're going to be
that.
Doing.
Do that in a mall. Do that in a alley. What's the park bathroom?
they're better
really?
Anonymous places.
Yes.
You're saying, Kevin?
Yeah. And Ralph's right. Why does the gender of your lover have anything to do with it? It seems like it is.
Well, that's because we know why. Because women won't have sex with you in a bathroom when they first meet you. Guys will.
But heterosexual people feel that need for spontaneity too. I don't know why.
Are you insane? Have you never lived on our planet before?
What?
You think you're going to meet a woman randomly in the park and you two of you are just going to walk into a restroom and bang it out? You know the world doesn't work that way. But guys, there are no gatekeepers in gay sex. That's the beauty of gay sex. Everyone's just, right now, let's do it.
But don't they say, okay, I'm excited I met you. This is good. Let's do it. Someplace other than this restroom, which smells like urine.
Like a park restroom.
Come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I hear you. I hear you.
Stop it.
I hear you. Anyway.
Man cannon.
George Man Cannon Michael has apologized to his fans for screwing up yet again, and this time he said he's going to get himself sorted out.
Why does he
Man
bother?
Cannon.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I don't think we do either.
Tonight's the debut of Dancing with the Stars.
All right, I cannot watch that one, too.
Want to put down your money? You want the odds?
Nope.
BetUSA.com has released the odds. Tony Braxton's the favorite at 3-1.
If her heart doesn't explode.
I thought she was the one with heart trouble.
Sure, she's got that.
What the hell?
But she's the favorite. Lance Bass is bringing up the rear.
Hey, see?
At 5-1. Misty May Traynor, 7-1. Kim Kardashian, 8-1. The long shot, and this is kind of sad, our pal Jeffrey Ross at 25-1.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Yeah, but Warren Sapp is only 20-1.
Yeah, he's the long shot over Cloris Leachman, who's 90.
Yeah.
Look. Yes.
So those are your odds if you want to lay down a bet before tonight's show.
No thanks.
They've also got some more interesting odds also posted, as if this would ever happen. Who's most likely to hook up backstage?
Oh, now you're talking.
The long shot money is on Lance Bass and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, well.
Who's most likely to be arrested for a DUI after the show starts? Susan Lucci. She's at 5-1.
Okay.
And first old-timer to suffer an injury on the show. Cloris Leachman's going off at 2-3 odds. And Susan Lucci's at 11-10. So there you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dave Hernandez of The Shins is 38. Matt Sharp, former Weezer bassist, turns 39. Scott Baio is 47 years old today. Bonnie Hunt also turns 47. Joan Jett is 50. And Tommy Lasorda, Dodgers legend, turns 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We are sending you to Las Vegas to see The Killers, one of just a handful of shows that they're doing to promote their forthcoming new album. We're doing it every day, four times a day, at 7 o'clock in the morning with the Kevin and Bean Show, and then Tammy Heidi's got it at 11, and then 3 o'clock in the afternoon with whoever works there, and then 7 p.m. So four chances a day at 7, 11, 3, and 7 to win a trip. Not qualify, but actually win the trip to go to Las Vegas to see one of the hometown shows from The Killers. And keep listening for more new Killers music coming soon on K-Rock.
Songs about sport teams seem to not be good.
Yeah, that's, you're pretty safe saying that.
You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Even when you go to games, they don't usually play, you know, songs about that team because none of them come out well.
Right.
Look, the Super Bowl shuffle, which we've talked about many times in this show, it had its moment. It was fine. But beyond that, almost every other song about every other sporting team has sucked.
And that was at least a team singing about themselves. This is Eddie Vedder, who is singing about being a Cubs fan. And apparently he's been a Cubs fan for a long time. Those of you who don't follow baseball, I guess the Cubs have been horrible for about 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been 100 years since they won the World Series. So they're due and they're in the playoffs. There's a lot of excitement in Chicago. Eddie was born and raised in the Illinois area, I guess. And Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, came to him and said, look, this is a guy, a Hall of Fame broadcaster and player. He said, will you please write a song for the Cubs?
Right.
Eddie Vedder, being a Cubs fan, how do you say no to Mr. Cub? You can't.
No, that's not the problem. The problem is, how does it seem like a good idea to go to Eddie Vedder and look for a sports song?
It's an odd choice.
Doesn't he seem like the opposite of the guy you would want?
Yeah.
So here's the Eddie Vedder song about being a Cubs fan. I wish we were making this up. We are not.
We are one with the Cubs we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy and the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score.
All right, listen, people. This is bad, right?
And vote union is what he also said.
World full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way.
Yeah,
someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way.
Yeah.
The Pearl Jam website says the song will be available for download the next few days, and they're talking about maybe selling it as a souvenir 45 or CD or something like that for the Cubs. So he loves his baseball, and that's how that came out. And then I understand, as this story breaks, that now with the playoffs and all the teams that are advancing into the postseason, now there's other celebrities are coming out doing the same thing as Ed, right?
Yeah, apparently Omar found a Bob Dylan song about baseball. Here
really?
We go.
Baseball, let's see. In the lawn, the band, run around the bases. Then you play it, and it does. Sometimes at night, they turn on the lights. Then it's the dirt, and the part is grass.
I don't
know. The other's running and trying to catch the ball. Oh, and people sit and watch, playing baseball, and playing baseball. Baseball! And it's ball.
Yeah.
And it's running. And it's hitting. Baseball! There are caps. Except for the catcher. He's got a mask on. Sometimes he gets hit. Most of the time he doesn't. And that's baseball! Baseball!
Yeah.
Oh. Baseball.
Yeah, he must have misunderstood. I don't think we needed an explanation of how the sport works.
No, we thought it was to kind of cheer on your favorite team is what we were hoping for, but all right.
You know who likes the Dodgers?
Who?
Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers, yeah.
Oh, smack that whack-a-dang, whack-a-dig-a-long, sing-a-bang-a-bong-a-bong, dang-dang, whack-a-doom-bong-a-boong-a-dang, spang-dong, whack-a-dig-a-bong-a-doom-ga-doom-dang, LA Dodgers playing California, whack-a-doom-bong-gong, whack-a-dang-dong.
Nice.
Not much Dodger talk, but a very uplifting song.
Very exciting.
Now, that's maybe what they need to win the playoffs this year. I think that's good.
Here's Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, you're kidding.
You know, baseball has always been a big part of my life. I remember when my dad first took me to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, no.
We bought the tickets. He handed the guy the money. The guy handed him the tickets. And then we took those tickets and went right into Yankee Stadium. There was a guy there taking the tickets.
You know how this works.
And he took our tickets. He tore them right in half.
We understand this.
And he kept half. Gave us the other half.
This could be too much detail.
Right there on our half was the row where our seat was.
Right.
And the number of the seat.
We know how this works.
So we said, let's walk down to our seats. But then my dad said, I'm hungry, let's get a hot dog.
And then what?
So we went to the hot dog stand.
Too much story,
gave the
baby.
Guy money. He gave us a hot dog.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. I don't think we have enough time to get to the song, do we?
You know, Tom DeLong from San Diego.
Oh, yeah, from Angels and Airways. Big Padres fan, I hear.
The San Diego Padres often play in space. When I have dreams of cosmos and Padres, the Angels win.
Singing that song here.
Sure. Yeah, they don't really play in space at all as much as they play at Petco.
That's right. That is true. And finally, David Bowie.
I think that baseball sucks ass.
Oh.
I think that baseball sucks ass.
Well, he's a foreigner.
I think that baseball sucks ass. I think that baseball sucks ass.
Yeah.
Why does baseball suck so much? 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 Baseball really blows. It really blows, 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 blows.
All right, we got it.
I think that baseball sucks ass.
Right.
I think that baseball sucks ass.
Let's just proceed.
I think that baseball sucks ass.
He's not a fan.
Baseball sucks, I really hate it. Baseball sucks, I really hate it. I'm not too fond of the game of baseball.
Right, I think we got it.
Because it really sucks ass.
Okay, dude, thank you.
I mean, it really sucks ass.
Right.
We got you.
I hate baseball.
All right.
Baseball.
Okay.
Wow. Baseball.
All right, you got that.
Seriously, baseball sucks.
We got the message. All right, you don't like
baseball.
Wow.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. Today, you get a pair of tickets for the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona on October 3rd through the 5th, plus a Runham engagement pass to see a movie I can't wait for. Sam Rockwell stars in Choke. So that's what you get right now for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
I rented Choke this weekend. Who's there?
I bet you did. Yeah. You got to start with Repo Mike on line 6. This sounds like it has the potential to be one of the great calls of all time.
Repo Mike?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. What it do, Repo Mike?
Well, we went out to go represent the car this weekend, and me and my wife, we go together. And I went over to put the keys, and the girl was chasing the door in her towel. And I was like, well, I'm here to pick up your car. And she's all, no, please, don't take my car, please. And I was like, well, I have to take it. And she's all, I'll do anything you want. And she opened up her towel, and I was like, oh, my God.
That's what I'm talking about. You've been reading Hustler, haven't you?
I never thought it would happen to me. Did you say that your wife was with you on the repo call, though?
Yes, she was. She always comes with me. She's my partner. And she was, my wife was pretty pissed. I mean, I'm telling you right now, she was pretty upset. But this, like, well, bring your wife up, too.
Oh,
and
no.
Then my,
right. That's good.
Was she hot, Repo Mike?
You know what? I don't want to be mean because I don't know if she listens to the radio, but, you know, she wasn't that hot.
Not that hot. But couldn't you have taken her up on her offer and then just gone that night, like at midnight, and picked it up?
I guess I could. But
Come on.
Like I said, my wife would have been upset.
Come on, Repo.
Yeah, I understand.
Not if you invite your wife to join in.
Did you want to join in, babe? No, she was ugly.
She was ugly.
Well, if she was ugly, then that makes sense.
Come on, Mrs. Repo. You have to do it just for the story's sake, though, don't you? Don't you say so? Anyway, I went in, and I nailed her, and I took the car anyway. Then that's the end of the story.
Just so you can tell people that.
Oh, yeah.
That's you fantastic.
Fail. You fail. Fail.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to, is it Rocky in Cerritos on line three? Rocky, does that seem...
Is it Rocky?
Hi, so I...
Is your name Rocky?
Yes, it is definitely Rocky.
It's Rocky, but it's spelled R-A-K-H-E-E.
Yes.
Whose idea
go
was that?
Go slap your parents.
Seriously, you're a bad person.
It's an Indian name. It has a meaning behind it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I'm sure it does.
It means boxer who keeps on fighting.
It's not just badly spelled. All right.
So I ran into a couple of guys this weekend who are wearing white pants, and I was wondering what it means when guys wear white pants.
Oh!
Same thing, baby.
I believe it's the same thing. I mean, honestly, how many heterosexual guys do you know that wear white pants? Seriously.
They seem pretty heterosexual.
I'm sure they do.
I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah. Listen, this is science.
We didn't make it up.
We didn't make it up. What do you want from us? Thumb ring, we're not sure about yet. That's still theory.
Yes, we are.
No,
not possible.
No. Thumb ring is theoretical science.
That's theoretical science. Yes. We need to do some more research. All right, let's go to Enrique.
We have to turn on the particle accelerator and see if a black hole presents itself.
Why the hole got to be black?
Enrique in Arleta. Good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Enrique.
I want to have a celebrity sighting.
You want to, or you did?
I hope it's Megan Fox, then, if I can choose.
I had a celebrity sighting with Michael Chiklis, and he is the coolest guy ever.
Isn't he the best?
He is.
We should have that guy on. I love that show this year. That show is my favorite
Kevin,
show.
Kevin, while you're on vacation, we had him in.
Son of a bitch! Yeah.
He was very cool.
Awesome Kevin moment this morning. Kevin walks up to me. I was like, hey, man, welcome back. How you doing? Dude, I didn't know you had Michael Vick on the show last week. I was like, we did? Michael Vick? Yeah, man, the Shield.
We broke him out of prison, and we brought him onto the show.
But coolest guy in the world, right, Enrique?
It was awesome. We had we cheers with some beers, and it was great. We had a great time.
He's fantastic. A good man.
Except for the dog fighting. I mean, you got to bring that up, right?
That's Michael Vick.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Wrote Michael Chiklis, by the way.
is it Chiklis or Chuckles?
It's Chiklis.
Every day with the phone screening, it's like trying to translate from a foreign language to determine who's on the phone here.
Yeah.
All right, let's try Samantha in Pasadena. This sounds like one of Kevin's people calling up. I think you'll appreciate this one. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Okay, first of all, I love you, Kevin Bean. I've always been a big supporter. Talk like a pirate day.
But, okay,
always
all right.
Big supporter.
Arr.
Until Friday.
What happened
really?
Friday?
What happened Friday? They ruined it for you on Friday?
Okay, I'm listening. I love Talk Like a Pirate Day. Arr. I come into work, and everybody, all I hear is, Kevin and Bean, I work for the state. I work in a professional office. My directors, the librarian, everybody... talking like a pirate, and all I hear is, arr, ha, ha, I've never hated you guys more.
Librarians are notoriously undercover pirate talkers.
Sure. So its success has backfired on it. Talk Like a Pirate Day was fun when it was just kind of small and intimate and a few people were in, but now that it's so widespread, you're over it.
Oh, so over it.
Yeah. You're like those people say, stop playing AFI. They're my band. I just want to enjoy them with me and my friends. You're ruining them by making them too popular.
I'm with you, Samantha. I never liked it. I take vacation that week, so I don't want to be a wet blanket on these guys.
You should walk the plank, you scurvy dog.
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's close with Josh in Sherman Oaks. More good news for Kevin on line 7. Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hi, Josh.
Not a mood. So today's opening day of the Kings preseason. What's your guys' prediction for the outcome of the season?
Come on. Hockey is back!
Really? Already?
Yes!
I didn't even realize that. Okay.
The Frozen Fury is this weekend in Vegas.
In Vegas,
that's where they play the Colorado Avalanche. Oh, I'm so excited it's back.
Now, Kevin, I know the Kings could not have disappointed you anymore last season. I mean, they were basically in last place from day two, right? What changes did they make in the offseason to improve this year?
Traded some people and got some people.
Gretzky's coming back, I heard.
And they're going to win the cup. I'm predicting the cup.
You're predicting the Kings win the cup.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I will take that wager.
I didn't
I'll
say
take
I'm wagering.
A little piece of that as well. I think they'll do better than they did last season.
I hope, yeah.
Josh, what do you think? What do you know?
Gretzky's were playing the Coyotes today, and he's their coach.
He is their coach.
He's
going to
quit the Coyotes and join the Kings. And
as a player
as
or
a
coach?
He's going to come back and play.
All right, I'm in.
Goalie, though.
He's just too old to move.
The biggest problem is a goalie.
That's not going to. Well, I don't think we're ready for the cup yet, but stranger things have happened. That's all I'm saying. I'm just excited that it's back.
Absolutely.
Football and hockey at the same time.
My Flyers are playing the Kings in L.A. for the first time in a long time, so I get to go to a couple games. I'm very excited.
Fantastic.
I think hockey is the reason high-definition television was invented, by the way.
Yes.
I really do. Nothing looks better in high-def than hockey for some reason.
You know, they got the ice zone, whatever the hell they call it on DirecTV. You can buy the package, the NHL package, and get all your favorite team wherever you are
center
from
ice.
The country. Center ice package. Yeah, and you can see them play. It's a great offer.
I want to thank our special guests on this morning's show, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ TV, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Also, thanks to Channel 5 reporter Allie McKay.
This now is the art of blowing here at Revolution. Now, tell me what to do here.
Okay, so you just go down and blow on the end of the blowpipe there.
Uh-huh. It could be the best reporter ever. God bless her for her good work. And I also want to thank the creator of Jeff is how we know him. He's the creator of the world's greatest website and my new homepage, megansafox.com. Check it out.
That's how we know him. His name is actually Neil. We know him as Jeff.
That's well, I'm saying he just goes by a one name Jeff. I wasn't trying to be familiar with the man. It's just that's the only name we have on.
Tomorrow on All New Kevin.
What are you doing, Mike? What is that?
I'm doing you. Hey, we just know he's Jeff.
Tomorrow we need to talk to you gays about why you like to have sex in the park restroom.
That way, you gays.
I say, why do you like to have sex in a park restroom?
What's wrong with you gays? You people.
The gays, not the problem. The park restroom, that's a bit of a problem.
We want you to find a cleaner place to have sex. That's all we're asking.
Just be clean about it.
Just throw down a blanket or something.
Maybe they bring a blanket. Maybe they bring a blanket. I don't know.
I don't know
the restroom. Funny man Jay Moore in the studio tomorrow. Okay. Let's see. Frank Warren is going to be here. He's got that the post secret project where he has people send in their deep dark secrets that they wouldn't tell anybody. Secrets. Come on. It's my
Barbara
first day
Wallace going to be on.
What do you want from me? And I think we're going to talk to Peyton Manning tomorrow.
Whoa!
It looks likely.
Don't hurt Peyton.
It's not finalized yet, but it's looking like we're going to have Peyton Manning on the
kind
program.
Kind of amazing.
Yeah, do you think he knows?
Don't bring up the game.
No, I don't think he knows.
Don't bring up the game.
Yeah, he can't be in a good mood this week after last night's loss. Yeah,
1-2 the Colts, by the way.
Yeah,
1-2.
Doesn't it seem like he ought to have other things to do than talk to us, though?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe
I'd be surprised if that one happens.
You throw a couple balls through some tires, get a little workout in, maybe.
All right, all of that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeVine Show. Stick around for Cat Corbett next with 40 minutes nonstop, including Love Hurts from Incubus. We also have Green Day on the way, some Coldplay, Nirvana, Metallica, and more. Yeah, right after this on K-Rock.